You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. To another edition of Swoop's World Late Night. It is August 21st, 2013. How's it going, Peter?
It's going all right.
T-Bone.
Yo.
And our guest is here, Adam. How's it going, Adam?
Hey, guys.
Going to get a chance to chat with Adam a little bit. He's an artist and does some pretty cool stuff. So.
Yeah.
You know, I actually met him at the gym. And
yes.
The guy is an animal. You know, matter of fact, I watch him work out, and the only time I've ever seen anybody work out like that were professional. I knew you had to be a professional MMA guy.
No.
This guy throws around those kettlebells like Penn and Teller juggle balls, man.
I just want to be healthy. I just honestly
want to
be healthy. That's it.
He's an animal, man. So we'll get a chance to talk to him. And yeah, you can watch him one day. You'll see.
No. It's really not that bad.
How's your week been, man?
It's been okay. You know, have some house guests.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know how house guests are. Requires you to adjust your schedule. So I've been adjusting. On Monday, for my daughter's birthday, I was in the happiest place on earth, so they tell me. I didn't feel any great joy, but it went okay.
Good. You know. How long were you in line?
I didn't measure this time as I did last time. So last summer, right? Last time I went to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, I measured all of the hours I spent in line. It turned out to be 6 hours, 37 minutes, and 41 seconds.
And standing time?
For two rides.
That was from the moment we got there. That was from 9 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So out of the 12 hours that we were there, over half of it was spent in line. I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I did not keep track of it. Religiously, like I did. Like the last time I used the stopwatch, I mean, I literally kept track of the time. I used the stopwatch on my iPhone. This time, I just kind of eyeballed it. And here's the great thing. This is the good news. We got there, like right when the park opened at 8 o'clock, and by 12 o'clock, we had done every one of the big rides that we wanted to do. So I turned to my wife and I said, "We should go home because this is the perfect Disneyland visit." And I could not get any one of the other four people in my party to go along with me. So then we had to stay another 10 hours. Those 10 hours were not nearly as enjoyable.
You chose to stay up because you had two adults assigned to two kids. You could have left to come back.
Yeah, I could have. But, you know, once you're married, you don't really... What seems like a choice really is not a choice. And trust me, it seemed like that was... I even had the keys in my pocket, which seems like a choice, but it really was not a choice. It wasn't.
That's probably how you've been able to stay married.
I guess so. I'm guessing that's...
I should take note. Guess what happens again.
So anyhow, it was okay. I will say that it was for my daughter's 8th birthday, and she, at the end of the night, said, "Dad, that was the greatest birthday ever." It didn't make up for it all, but at least somebody
appreciated
really
it.
That goes a long way. I'll say that.
There you go, man.
And then she reiterated it the next morning when she woke up. So...
See?
There you go.
There, I got that in my back pocket when I go to see, you know, whoever that is, St. Peter. You know, I did that one thing
like
at one time.
He's like, you got to come up and board that.
But really, I was. She swore, greatest birthday ever.
Yeah, that line right there is filled with people with greatest birthdays ever. Bonner, what's been happening with you, man?
Well, this is the final week of my summer job. And it can't. Friday can't come soon. Oh my god! I'm actually looking forward to going and doing work on my parents' house this weekend because that's more palatable at this point than
what you're doing
this week. But next week, after the show, the following day, and next Thursday, I'm going to get on the road and drive up to the Kern River. So
nice,
you know.
Yeah, debauchery to be had.
Yes.
Yes.
Plenty of debauchery to be had.
Good, man. And you'll have stories when you return, right?
Or so here's the tough
what
thing.
Happens in Kern stays in
Kern? Oh, no. There's no such restrictions.
Tells everyone.
The problem with Kern is that this will be the 10th year in a row that I've gone on this trip. And once you're separated by like 9 months or so, you can't remember which stories are from which year. So it all kind of blurs together. Yeah. You're like, was that the same year that the one dude fell off the RV? Like, no, that was the year that the guy got trapped in the dumpster and we threw the other dude in the river. It's just the stories. There's no, I mean, each
sort
one of
sort
them
like
on its
mix
own
and match.
Makes for a funny little event, but it's hard to really. It's not like a Seinfeld episode where you can tie a nice bow around it on the end and it all
sure.
comes back together.
What you have to do is, you ever seen Memento?
Yes. There you go. I mean,
you got a camera on your phone.
The camera and my phone is waterproof, it's life proof, so I can document it better than ever before.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to necessarily, but
what about journals? You know, writing in your own
person. Yeah, I've never put it in writing.
I can't take that on the river, though, because then I would trash it.
Dear diary.
Dear diary. Yeah.
I think I can get post-it notes everywhere.
Yeah.
You
know how many crimes have been solved with diaries? Oh, gosh. Well, let's take our first break and come back and introduce our guests properly and get this show on the road. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
You're listening to the Swoops World on the Talkstar Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. And how about a little bit of, who do we have here? Fat Reggae Dub Status. This is Rastaman. Be back after this.
This station rules the nation with versions.
In your heart, we're passing on your knowledge. Now the youth in the dark, without perception of the love the Rastafari provides. Giving truth and justice a meaning to my life, and now it sees that sense of milia is part of nature. Freeing the mind and soul from all disorder, and it teaches of a time where things are simple to appreciate each other and not the material. Meditating out with your eyes, your far eye. Kept them from the hits, and I'll keep Zion up. From your fire, so now keep Zion up. Said you're awesome and a liar. Said you're awesome and is here with your plan to retire. Can't kick it back, for your plans are turning back. Said you're Babylon people, like in Zion. You're Babylon people, bringing down your lion. They're killing you, then they best be killing me. See, I won't.
give up his life, won't give up his fight. The presence of his guilt's on the end of your night. Send the Babylon people lag and die. On your Babylon people, bringing down your line. On your Babylon people lag and die.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. So many comments on my comment.
Hey, guys, check out my
new
video game.
Mom, what?
Huh?
Pew, pew. What'd you say?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, over here, behind the fence.
Huh? You? The bike?
Yeah, the bike. Here in the grass where the kids left me a while ago. Could you get the dust off my seat and remind the kids how fun I still am?
Okay. Oh, you are dusty.
I may need my spokes tightened, too. Let's go.
As Native American parents and caregivers, our encouragement to healthy lifestyles for our kids is helping them get outside and play. Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov/Indian Country. Brought to you by USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, this is Sean Paul on the wall, and you're listening to Swirl.
Going to hell.
Welcome back to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio. We're happy to have as our guest today outstanding artist, Adam Dano. How's it going, Adam?
It's going.
Yeah?
It's going, yeah.
Good, man.
Doing all right.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and a little bit how you got started in art.
Well, I'm originally from Washington State, from a small farm town called Moses Lake. It's eastern Washington, so it's probably about an hour and a half outside of Spokane. So if you're familiar with the state at all. What got me started actually in art is, believe it or not, Superman. And let me elaborate on it.
I know it's fictional.
Not the actual Superman. Growing up, my mom used to draw for me.
Oh.
And I used to have the Superman book that I would give to her, and she would draw out of it, and I would cut out Superman, color it up, and actually play with the paper. So that was kind of my segue into doing it. So then when she ended up going back to work, and I had to go to the babysitters, I started doing it myself. You know, I'd go up to the babysitter, and I remember asking, like, can you do this? And she's like, no, go off and do it yourself. So I did.
That's cool.
Doc, her pay, Mom.
No, seriously. And that's kind of how I got started. So,
necessity.
Yes. Very much so.
That's cool.
And
so there you go.
And you eventually ended up with watercolor. How did you get to the
watercolor? Watercolor was a struggle. Yeah. And we actually talked about this earlier. I did a lot of acrylics growing up. Did a lot of acrylics and oil. Did oil bars, all that kind of stuff. And then I had this teacher named Craig Skizik in high school that was a watercolorist. And so he made me step outside of doing that and said, try this. I fucking hated it. But he made me stick with it. And, you know, eventually it kind of caught on. And so not really having the space to do oils or acrylics because I make such a mess, I resorted to watercolor. And, you know, that way it was easy to clean up. The paints were a little bit cheaper, not as much. But it was just easier to have.
They didn't stick up the apartment as much.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
The watercolor paper, though, is kind of expensive.
The paper can get expensive. Yeah. It can, absolutely. Yeah.
But acrylics, you can cheat with acrylic. You know, you can paint over really easily. I didn't mean to do that and go just let it dry and go right
and
over.
And it dries fast. So that's why a lot of people like it, you know.
Watercolor is a lot harder to do that. I mean, you make a mess up, it's almost a start over.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, and it's, you know, I've integrated into, I don't even know if you want to call it a style that I do, but I use the mess ups. I use the paint as paint.
Uh-huh.
I want people to see the paint. You know, there's those moments of spatter, of drips.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's a painting.
Yeah, I saw one of yours. It was really cool. It had quite a few drips in it. I think it was a peacock or something.
Okay.
Like
Yeah. Which actually was a commission piece that I just did for what's her name? Tina. I want to say probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So never done a peacock before, and she said, "Can you do it?" And I said, "Sure. Why not? Let's try it." And I
get,
it came out okay.
Yeah, when I saw it, it was very, very cool. I liked it a lot. How did you, how'd you get to Long Beach?
It's kind of a long story. I actually had a friend that was living down here trying to make it as an actor. A really good friend that we actually went to when I was going to art school. He was going to the same school, but for performing arts. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything going on at the time, and this was probably about 10 years ago, I want to say.
Yeah.
He said, move down here. To make a short story really long right now, I dropped out of art school 2 years into it because it was really expensive. I did have some scholarship that was completely soaked up within those first 2 years, and I didn't know what to do. You know, I couldn't really afford to go back.
Yeah.
And so my dad suggested to travel. He went to the Caribbean a couple of times and he said, why not move down there for a little while and try it out? So I did. I bought a one-way ticket, packed a small bag, and moved down to St. Croix and was down there for about a year and a half, almost 2 years.
How was that?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Awesome. At the time, I had this on-again, off-again relationship. And she ended up bringing me back to Boise, Idaho. So talk about two extremes. You know,
yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
And that, you know, I was there for probably about 9 months. And then I was just, you know, it wasn't going anywhere. So I ended up moving back home. And then that's when my buddy called me up and said, hey, dude, move down here.
Yeah.
Figured, why not?
Surprised you didn't go right back to...
Well, I was thinking about it. I seriously was really, really thinking about
it.
And I, you know, there's times where I absolutely miss it. I really do, because it's so simple down there.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal.
Did you do any art while you were down there?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And again, that's where I resorted back to watercolor. And because it was easy. It was easy to have. You know, I mean, you didn't have to carry around these huge tubes.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Stuff dries quickly. You can move. You can we're done. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it worked.
Yeah.
So I just stuck with it. And now it's like to the point where I'm just... Facing reality that I'm a watercolorist. That's what I do.
You say that like it's a bad word.
No, I know. That was pretty bad. That was pretty shitty. No, I honestly I love it. But another thing that I just actually found was watercolor pencils.
Uh-huh.
If you can get your
I've seen
those.
How do they work?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Love them.
I saw, where was I? I was looking for some art supply for my kid, and I saw it, like online or something like that. I was like, nah, I couldn't figure out how they could possibly work.
You use them as a colored pencil.
Okay.
And then you can put water on it, and it actually turns into watercolor, believe it or not. So it's awesome.
All right.
It's awesome. It's a nice
My daughter
tool.
Probably did that. I might have to look into that.
I love them. I love them.
Now, how often are you painting?
I try to paint every day.
Yeah.
As much as I can.
Is it all commission stuff? Or
Right now, a lot of what's helping out with the bills is a little bit commission stuff. I wish, honestly, it was more steady.
Yeah.
It's, you know, thank God for social media because, and I'm a lot like you, where I couldn't, at the time, could not stand it.
Yeah.
You know, book face and, you know, Instagram and all that other stuff. Did not want to do it. But then about a year ago, I finally cracked down and just said, you know what, fuck it. Why not? Seriously, yeah, and it's one of those things where I don't know if it's just because I'm such an introvert where I didn't want to feel phony doing it, you know, because I kind of feel like a phony when I'm on there. But, you know, you get over it.
Yeah.
I mean, you get over it pretty fast. So.
You know, that's, you know, it's an interesting thing with the social media, and like we talked before the show, that we interview a lot of independent bands,
yes,
and a lot of independent artists and stuff like that, and it's kind of, if you're not managed by anybody or owned by anybody, it's kind of what you have to do for the business side
of your business.
Of your business, exactly. Yep. And a lot of artists or people in the creative industry have a tough time realizing, okay, I am creative, but I have to run a business.
Right.
For you, how has that worked out for you? Has it been a difficult struggle, or were you a businessman by heart?
Well, no, I mean, you basically have to be, you have to sell yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, as part of growing up, I worked all the time, you know, for whatever reason, for rent, for all that other stuff, yeah. You know. But I worked retail for years, and that really teaches you about how to sell.
Yeah.
You know, even if you don't want to, you know, you've got to learn to sell. Even if it's a product that you fucking hate, you have to learn to sell it, you know? So, but it's pretty easy to sell yourself, you know, if you're genuine. I mean, honestly, I think if you're genuine.
Well, you know, it's funny that you should say that because Peter and I have done a lot of art shows. I tell you what, his father, who he sells art for a living.
Right, right.
But all the paintings I've sold, the majority of the paintings I've sold were sold by somebody else. they were in a gallery, and the gallery owner sold them. Or they were at, you know, wherever they were, they got sold by somebody else. I have a horrible time selling my own art.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I can understand, you know, it's the banter, you know, trying to work up into the sell.
Yeah.
I lucked out, and I actually have my wife has this friend who owns a salon that she's gone to for years, and they're down in the at the lab in Costa Mesa, which is
that's a cool
huge,
area,
huge artistic area.
Yeah,
it's called Architects, and he called me up and said, "Hey, we're part of this what's it called, Sobeca Art Walk? That's every last Tuesday of the month. That's down there that they actually just started." He's like, "I'm looking for an artist. Are you interested?" I said, "Absolutely. Let me know what time you need me to be there, and I will absolutely be there,
yeah,
ready." So I've been doing it pretty steadily since they started. So, and I've sold tons, even through them selling my stuff, like you said. You know, it's somebody else that usually sells your stuff. I mean, thank God, because I wouldn't have seen any money.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. And, you know, the thing is, with a lot of these art walks, because, you know, we were involved in one, and stuff like that, and they're all a good thing for artists. They're a great thing for artists. What we've seen with a lot of different art walks, that they start off being all about the art,
yes,
and they end up being all about an event and less,
yes,
about the art.
Right.
And so then, as the artist, you're not selling as much art.
Right.
Sounds like that one is geared towards artists and selling art, or just people there come to buy art as well as everything else.
Well, because it's so new, they're still trying to work out that balance.
Yeah.
Because it's a highly sought after area in around Newport Beach.
Yeah.
So they're still trying to work out the kinks on you know, how to balance it out to actually get some artists to sell more of their work. But I think the draw is more about the artists.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That's cool. That's very cool.
It's rad.
Yeah.
It's rad. I love it.
We kind of touched on it a little bit, the social media thing. When you,
yes,
when you decided this is what I have to do for my business, what prompted that?
Change,
yeah,
honestly. It was just time for a change.
Yeah.
I had gotten such a really good response putting it in Architects Hair Salon that I thought, you know what, I've got to do something. I honestly really have to do something. So started with Facebook, and actually got a really good client from Facebook, and he's actually pretty well known. And so I kind of, it was another pure luck thing, honestly, pure luck.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then from there, I went on to Instagram because I'm not sure if Facebook actually owns Instagram, which they might.
I don't know who owns it now.
You can actually link up the account. But anyway, Instagram was kind of a better format for artists,
mm-hmm.
honestly. And if you look at the caliber of art that's on there, it is fucking mind-blowing.
Really?
Mind-blowing, the artists that are out there.
That's cool.
So...
new place for just some stonework, man.
So we were just talking about that. Honestly, I mean, it's a great format.
You know, the thing is, the thing is about the social media thing. It really basically costs you nothing to put your stuff up and have people see it
right. Worldwide. Yeah.
And if you get a sell or two off of that, that's you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio, out of San Antonio, Texas. We're here with our guests. Adam Dano, and we're going to take a quick break, listen to some Normandy Wilson. This is called Saturday Night Girl. Back after this.
My hand and bring me to the door. It shivers up my spine, cause you know what's in store for me. You're gonna take me out, and then I'm gonna get my chance to show you, baby, what I'm all about.
Because the message I don't get is a groovy one. All you gotta do is be good to me. Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
For a little ride.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Let's take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics, or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted, and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
And that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
Talk Story Radio.
Hi, my name is Brent Michelle. I'm a singer-songwriter based in Los Angeles. Why don't you sit back, grab a cold beer, and listen in, because you're listening to Swoop's World.
The world spins before my eyes. One wrong turn, I'm left behind. And so I hide under my skin.
And welcome back to Swoop's World on Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio. We're here with our guest, Adam Dano. He's an artist specializing in watercolors and ink. But a lot of your stuff is watercolors and ink. Is it?
Yes. Yeah, I do incorporate the ink into the watercolors sometimes.
You were mentioning this, you know, you're starting to regularly do the thing over at in Costa Mesa there.
Yeah.
What about right here in the Long Beach area? Have you done any shows out here?
Nothing over here.
Yeah.
I have another really good artist buddy. He goes Ed Bopp.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal work. I think he does shows over here, or he used to. And then now he's down in Irvine, so he does a lot of stuff around, I want to say, Fullerton and Newport Beach.
Yeah.
As well as some other places that I don't know, but he's mostly like right around there.
Yeah.
So I right now I'm trying to work on hopefully, got my fingers crossed, maybe getting a show in November in Fullerton.
Cool.
So, which would be nice, because I haven't had one since June.
Well, that's the next question I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
know, you've done art for a number of years.
Yes.
You're in St. Croix, coming from Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Is there a difference selling your art in different areas and showing your art in different areas?
I think there's a difference anywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's all subjective, you know. I try to do stuff a lot like you, where, you know, you want to do stuff that you like, and hopefully it just connects, you know. And I'm straight up Gen X, so I'm part of the movie kids, movies, comic books, music is a huge motivator for me as well. So I just, it's all about trying to connect.
Yeah.
And it's a hit or miss, you know. I mean, I don't, there's no formula for it. Just do it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, I mean, as we were kind of talking, I think either before the show or during one of the breaks, is a lot of times when you set out in art to capture that market, to like, okay, oh, here, this will sell. Like, when you set out for that reason, a lot of times you're like, you end up with a lot of product that just isn't going to move.
Just, yeah.
Just art that's just nobody wants. Like,
right.
You thought it was cool, and it just, I have found that from an art point of view, it's like, it's easier to just make what you like and hope that somebody else out there goes, that is cool. Because a few times, because I didn't normally do this, but there were times when people say, you need to make this because this sells. And I would. And most of the time, I wouldn't sell that stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff I would sell, I sold this one. It was a skull that was bigger than life size.
It was huge.
Bigger than life size. This thing weighed 250 pounds with the base.
Jesus.
You know, it was a stone skull. And I called it Memento Mori. You know, so that's that whole, you know, reminder of death sort of deal.
Sure, sure.
And my wife wouldn't even let me bring it in the house. She just was like, that is the ugliest, scariest thing. Why in the world would you do that? I was like, I don't know. It's just, when I started carving the stone, that's what it was. I couldn't, you know, I had no control over it. That's right, what it was. Right. I carved it. I personally thought it was pretty freaking cool.
It was, but it was, it was very cool.
I also, when I finished it, the moment I finished it and put my you know, my mark on it,
right,
I was like, this thing is never gonna sell. Ever. And it did.
It sold the first time you showed it.
It sold the first time I ever showed it. I was like, so you just never know. And then whereas I'd set out other times and like, I'm gonna make these set of something, and then you roll those out and nobody wants to buy them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think with art it can be very,
yes,
you know, fashion is one thing. Fashion is fashionable.
Right.
And so it depends on what kind of art you have, because sometimes your art straddles that line.
Sure.
I'm a stone sculptor, so my art does not straddle that line. I have found that the ones that work the best are the ones that I made that I just, a lot of times afterwards I was like, why in the world did I make that? It makes no sense.
Oh yeah.
Those are oftentimes the pieces I sold.
Yeah. I, you know, in most of this stuff, I always second guess my stuff. You know, I really do. It's just like, what the fuck? Nobody's gonna like this. You know. But the thing is I have so much fun doing it. You know, I'm
well, really, that's the thing,
I'm
right?
Really into it, and you know, art is all about how it makes somebody feel. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, and somebody's not gonna look at art and say, "Oh, that's gonna be a great investment.
Yeah.
Let's buy that." No, they want it to be around. You know, they want to put it up in their house and they want to fucking see it. So, yeah.
One of the things that we all go through as artists, and I don't know how you deal with it, is it done? You know, I mean, you work on something, you know, it's done, and then you walk by it a little bit later and you go, ah, I want to tweak this, I want to do this. And you know, you have a tough time just saying, I'm done with this project.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes I've definitely overworked my stuff, and yeah, I've honestly ripped it up.
You know it, right? Susan, it happens.
Completely crushed this thing. The way that I guess I sort of look at it is kind of being, it's like acting. It's like movie actors. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the method actors, and then you have the actors that are there that love the work, but they're not going to all consume themselves into the work.
Right.
Because, I mean, let's face it, you don't want to be around those people. They won't be any fun to be around. Honestly, if you go method, it's like nobody wants to be around them. So if you do that, if you let the work consume you, you're going to be a miserable person to be around.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's going to show through the work. Cut it out. You know, yeah, take a step back. It's fine. You know, it's fine. So I've learned to do that. I've learned to step back.
Yeah.
Especially being older too, you learn it.
How is your process? You know, a lot of times we hear artists talk about it's so personal to them.
Yes.
And to have people see unfinished work or be in your space while you're creating,
right,
it's difficult for a lot of artists. How is that for you?
It's difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's kind of going back to the whole social media thing where people will actually sit there and they will post stuff that they're actually working on,
yeah,
and they'll show the progression of it. It's hard for me to do that, but I'm starting to kind of slip into it more just so you can see the process of what I go through.
Yeah.
Because it is pretty personal for the artist to show an unfinished piece. You know, it's almost like what if it ends up not looking like how I'm wanting it to look,
right,
the final product, and I'm showing it to people like as it's going along, like I feel like I've kind of fucked myself, honestly.
Yeah.
But you know, grow up. Grow up, Adam. Jesus.
Good for you, man. I can't do it. I hate anybody, yeah, seeing myself before I'm completely done with it. You don't have a choice. You have big giant stones.
Well, I have big giant stones in the backyard, but I still try to keep people away because, Because in sculpture, especially if you're dealing with like marble and alabaster, by the time you've reached the point where you polish it, polishing it can be all the difference in the world. It's like having the perfect car. It's like having a 57 Chevy that you've completely got everything perfect, but you haven't painted it yet, right?
Right.
It's down to primer, and that car doesn't look right, right? I mean, now you're the person that just installed it and repaired every circuit and every, you know, pounded out every dent and all that.
Sure.
You know it's like perfect. All it needs is a paint job. All it needs is to be polished, right? That's how stone sculpture can be, especially, again, if you're dealing with alabaster. You can look at a sculpture and you go, And so, like, that was what happened. My wife would go, what is that? I'm like, well, it's all done. How can you not see what it is? But until it's polished, the parts don't come out. Or sometimes you work the other way. Like, certain parts need to be polished to make it to make it come out.
Yep.
And so people can't. And, like, and of course, you just spent, like, in the case of sculpting, you've spent 40 hours doing one piece. I mean, it's a long process. And it's like, so I try to keep people away, you know?
Yeah.
Because to have them come out and go, well, what is that? And I'm 22 hours into it or 30 hours into it. And I'm like, to me, it's obvious because I'm carving through it, right? I mean, so I know.
And it goes back to overthinking it. And then
overthinking
you know,
it, yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's like they've got you second-guessing yourself.
That's why I have a tough time with anybody seeing that stuff before I'm done. Because I've had people go, oh. You're like, what? I'm like, just get out of here.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Leave now.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're doing, oh.
But the best, you know, honestly, the best critic that I have is my wife.
Yeah.
Because she will flat out say, dude, what are you painting? What is that? What, like, no. And you know, it's, for me, it's good to have that around, honestly. It really is, because I'm like, you know what? I was thinking the same thing the entire time I was doing it, and I just needed her or somebody just to come up and say, like, stop. Just, you've got
to
stop.
Move on to the next project.
Move along, nothing to see here. How do you manage the business side? A lot of, like, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but a lot of people just have a tough time managing the business side of their creative
can't separate the two.
Yeah, can you?
I try. You know, I honestly really try. And again, it goes back to, you know, thank God I had some retail experience to kind of get myself there, to learn to do that, to sell. You literally, it's like selling a product. I mean, you got to keep on.
Yeah, but you got to find places to sell your product, or you got to get yourself in front of people. How do you go about getting that exposure?
You know, I ask my other artist friends, you know, like, what's going on? You know, if you really want to get into galleries and stuff, go to the galleries, go to the art walks, talk with people, talk with everybody, have business cards.
Yeah.
Is a must. Have to have business cards. And then, you know, if you can, like, I do a free blog. You know, I don't have a website that I pay for. It's all free. So I just post all my stuff and I manage it myself.
Yeah.
Just for somebody to go and take a look. You know, or Instagram, you know, something.
Yeah.
Just anything for people to actually look at your work. But get out there. You absolutely have to get out there and just talk to people.
Is there with your type of art? Are there better times of the year for you than others?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The best times for me is probably right around winter.
Mm-hmm.
As far as selling it, it's okay. It's all right.
But creating.
But creatively, the winter. Into spring, for me, it's really heavy hitting, and it really seems to kind of flow, I guess, if that makes any sense. But
you came from the Pacific Northwest. Do you even notice the winters through springs here?
Yeah, you do.
We like to say there's dry, and there's drier.
and then drier. Well, where I'm from, they have all four seasons. There's really fucking hot, and then there's really fucking cold. So I mean, you're into the hundreds, in the summertime, and then you're down in the teens to well below the teens in the winter. So I mean, it's cold, but I, you know, I can't handle the cold anymore. It's not my thing. I can't. I mean, anybody does it.
Good question.
California will do that to you, though.
California does. I'm such a pussy now. If it drops below 70, I'm like, oh, I'm just such a miserable asshole.
Try the club. Let's take another quick break and then come back and finish up with Adam here. This is the Chris Anderson Group, and this is called Drifting on the Swoops World Radio Network.
Thank you. just want to arrive. I see the damage that the road has done to me. Can't tell how far I've come, or how much further I need to go. Wondering if the best is in the past, or still in front of me. No time for reflection, no more time to kill.
Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
This is Mean and Nasty, and I'm a Virgo.
Yo, LJ. Gemini.
You're listening to Swoops World Radio. Get with it, or get lost.
Very lost.
Swoops World. Yeah, we in here. Got Mean sitting next to me. So this is how we do it. Listen.
okay. Vibe with me as I speak. You witnessing the legend. Black J, we repping 102 DIY to the depth.
Ain't no Welcome back to Soup's World, and we're here with artist Adam James Dano. Adam, we haven't even had a chance to put it out for you. You know, you have a blog and Facebook and all that stuff, so people can find your work and get a hold of you if they want to. What are those addresses?
It's you can do my blog. It's www.adamjamesdano.blogspot.com. I try to keep that as current as possible.
You have a lot of work up on that right now.
I do.
Star Wars
and most of the stuff that I put on there, it's all finished. It's uh-huh. done.
No prices on there.
No. You know, and that's another thing I need to work on, putting some prices. So say like, oh, hey, by the way, I would like that. Would be nice. But, I need to work on that. Instagram also, if you're on Instagram, it's at Adam James Dano. Facebook, it's just the same. It's Adam, Adam James Dano on there. So
very consistent all across the board. That's what I call, marketing, man.
Yeah, you have to.
Exactly right.
Look me up.
Just kind of winding out here. Is there anything you wanted to talk about we haven't had a chance to talk about yet?
No, I'm, honestly, not really. I'm having a great time. This is awesome.
That's good. That's what it's all about.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
I honestly wish I had something off the top of my head.
we were talking about your Blogspot, and you have a lot of things on there right now, and I noticed you have quite a few Star Wars type things. You have some giraffes, some birds,
Animals, yeah.
You have some animals, and then you also have something that looks like a commission for a snowboarding or something along those lines. A picture we use. Tell us a little bit about those.
That one, I actually the one with the it's actually a extreme mountain bike team that hit me up called Mad Productions. That one right there. That hit me up through Instagram and said, hey, we're gonna start an art thing on the side. They've got tens of thousands of followers. So they saw some of my stuff on Instagram and said, hey, could you do this for us? And I said, absolutely. They never purchased it, so it's still in my possession.
Right.
And it is actually for sale.
Very cool.
It's one of those things through social media that I got commissioned to do. All the other animals and stuff, I just kind of ran with the animal thing.
Yeah, some cool stuff though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And I know everything is based on time, effort, and difficulty, but kind of a range. What are your price ranges?
My price ranges are from about $150 to about $450.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty moderate.
What kind of sizes are you doing?
I do big. I try to do big.
Yeah.
I order my paper in rolls. Mm-hmm. Watercolor paper, so it's about 51 inches by about 10 yards, so I can do any size, literally any size.
Yeah.
I try to keep them big just because I like doing it. From 24 by 18 to 5 feet by 5 feet.
Wow.
So,
nice.
And that's unusual for watercolorists. They work small. They usually like to keep things
tight and controlled.
Yeah.
It's usually a lot of flowers and sailboats.
Usually when it gets to a bigger size, you almost have to start pouring the paint off.
That's
the thing I was gonna say is like when you're dealing with watercolor, oftentimes when you get to that size, there's just literally
have to pour the paint off.
There's just not enough paint.
Right.
When people tend to go big with the watercolors, they tend to look all washed out. They tend to look thin, and which is not really fair to watercolors because they can be really vibrant and oomph and lots of color.
But that's a lot. I try to, in trying to get more depth in, that's where the ink comes in.
Uh-huh. I can see that.
So, I try to make them look not as anemic, if you will.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
that's a good word.
I like the texture of watercolor paper. It brings out a lot. I print some of my photography on watercolor paper.
Yeah. Awesome.
And tell them it comes out really, really well.
Yeah.
This is a cool. I just can't paint watercolors.
Have you tried?
I've tried and just.
And you just threw it across the room?
Yeah, it's been a lot of years. It's been a lot of years. You know, like I said, I work in oils and it's conducive to my abilities because I can. You know, I make a few mistakes here and there, and I don't have any problem just scraping and taking a knife and going,
let it dry, start all over again. Yeah.
I have nothing but admiration for people who can do watercolors because I have tried, and
thanks.
It was very difficult. So, good times. Well, good times. Well, Adam, I want to thank you for coming into Swoops World and hanging out and sharing your talents with us.
Thank you very much.
You know, you're welcome back anytime.
I'm around. I'm serious. I'm around. Let me know. I'm here.
Absolutely. We should do some shows down this way as we come out and take a look. We're going to be doing brewski tasting here in a few minutes. You're welcome to hang out.
Yeah.
As long as you
want.
I might taste
a few minutes. I'm still a little thirsty.
There you go. You're listening to Swoops World on the Talkstar Radio Network and AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and it'll be time for brewskis. I'm thinking a little Channel 3. What do you think, Peter?
Yeah.
This one.
You do some Blue Christmas?
No. actually, I have it. You want to hear Blue Christmas?
Yeah, what the hell, man?
This is Channel 3. Be back after this.
This is a band that he actually knows the
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio.
Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mobile Talk Radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
And now we have an 8-year-old on the line. Welcome to Our World Today. What's your question?
Our continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that 71% is comprised of water. Man automatically adapts to environmental conditions. So why do I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
This is Carrie Wade, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
Is it a constant spin? I ask as I begin to once again feel unsettled in my skin.
It's time for Brewskies, our beer tasting segment right here at Swoop's World Late Night, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. So grab yourself a glass, pour yourself a brew, and join us right now for Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com.
Well, happy Wednesday. I'm once again stealing T-Bone's, his intro.
We're losing it, man.
I know. Lost our touch. Yeah. Anyhow, tonight we're going to have for beer tasting Anderson Valley, which I'm pretty sure we had something from them before.
I couldn't remember.
But not this beer. I'm certain of.
By them before.
I'm pretty sure we had, I want to say it was one of their like a pale ale or something like that. But that being said, I can't really recall. What I do know for certain is that tonight we are having the Barney Flats Oatmeal Stout. That's that. Certainly just in case, for those of you who may have not have noticed, that's one of Swoop's favorite style of beers. He likes
it
those
is.
A lot.
I love the oatmeal stouts.
So, Darkness. Here's what they have to say. Darkness, the deep ebony color. I'm not just saying. I'm not making this up. This is straight off of the website. The deep ebony color, voluptuous mahogany head, and bold, roasty flavors. I don't think roasty is a real word. In our Barney Flats Oatmeal Stout are what serious beer drinkers expect from this style. Aromas of fresh baked bread, espresso, and dried cherries meld seamlessly with rich toffee flavors and a creamy mouthfeel to create an unparalleled drinking experience. It's 5.8% alcohol, 14 IBUs, so for your hop heads out there, this is not your style of beer. Pale two-row malt, crystal, roasted barley, Munich chocolate, and oats, of course. Hops is Columbus and Northern Brewer. Apparently, this is a draft that's available year-round. Where are these guys located, T-Bone?
Boonville, wherever the hell
Boonville.
That is. That's in California.
Boonerville.
Is it really?
I couldn't tell you.
I would have guessed like Wyoming or something like that.
707. That's 707. That's yeah. North. That's
north,
that's
somewhere
like Davis near. Area.
Yeah, there you go. Davis-ish. Somewhere up north of Southern California. So there you have it. So that's what we have for Anderson Valley Brewing Company.
So Adam, this is the way it works.
Yes.
We will taste.
Okay.
Give your honest opinion on what you feel about it, good, bad, or the ugly.
Okay.
After everybody's done that, then we'll go back and score it.
Gotcha.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best.
10 being best.
Salud.
Salud.
Woo. Cilantro.
Coriander.
Ziggy zuggy, ziggy zuggy. And the guest always gets to go first.
I'm feeling it. I like it. I actually really like it.
Cool.
But I've always been a stout man though, so
yeah.
they kind of got me there. But no, it's actually really good.
Am I? I'm liking this a lot. I'm always been a big stout fan. My only complaint would be this is something we should be drinking like October.
You know? Turn the fan on. At least.
I know. If you hadn't turned the fan on, this wouldn't even work. That would be my only complaint. This is just a big, heavy beer that you don't normally drink in the middle of summer. But that being said, this is an excellent brew.
Yeah, this is. I love oatmeal stouts in particular. And the funny thing, the very first sip, I tasted a lot of alcohol in the very first sip, which, you know, it's not a high alcohol beer.
No.
Just, I think that my
taste
buds.
But you poured it over
still,
what you had in the
no,
glass.
No. I gave a good rinse. I've been more faithful about rinsing it out before I pollute with another type of beer. But every sip got a little better. And I really, like I said, I love oatmeal stouts anyway, and this is a good one.
I agree.
You got to work on their label.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know about that aroma of fresh baked bread, because I'm sure not getting that.
What is it, bread?
Oh, I can kind of see where they're going. It's a bit of a stretch, but
yeah.
Not impossible. Not impossible.
I enjoy this a lot. Like I said, my favorite oatmeal stout is at Samuel Smith's. And this is holding its own. It's got a good taste. I'm not getting any fresh baked bread either, but it's chewable.
Nice.
It's chewable. Which is a good thing.
It's a great thing. Adam, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best.
I'm going to go, can you do a 0.5?
You can do whatever.
You can do thirds, tenths,
you want to,
any variation thereof.
Yeah. I'll do a 7.5.
7.5.
Right.
Nice.
This is an excellent beer. Wow. I think I'm a 7.5 as well.
Yeah.
You know? I almost went to an 8, but I'm saying, you know, here's my one complaint, having had a couple more drinks, and it's a minor complaint. But
well, it wouldn't be you without a little complaint.
I love oatmeal stouts, and this doesn't have that same big mouthfeel of like a Samuel Smith oatmeal stout, you know, and I do like that.
Yeah.
I like, and I know for some people that's a big turnoff, but I like that. And this one is almost my one complaint, my one knock might be is it's a little on the thin
side.
It finishes
right on the
thin.
Finish,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then, which again, some people might prefer, you know, but for me, I like that. So that's, I would give it a 7.5. Otherwise, I'd probably be at a solid 8.
This is going to get an Ocho
from nice.
Mio.
Nice. I, like you, I do feel the finish is a little thin. But compared to a couple of other oatmeal stouts we've had over the years, I'm going to be with T-Bone on this one. I'm going to give it an 8.
Nice. Make T-Bone's math easy. Though.
I'm tempted to upgrade my score just because I know I said they got to work on that label, but look at this thing. I love it when they come off like this. Sure, shut my mouth until I was done. Oh, there was a tough spot there. Now it's on your table forever.
Are you able to do the math while you're peeling the label?
Yes, we got a solid 7.75. Let's see if I tore the horns, the antlers off of that bear. No.
Right. Solid 7.75.
7.75.
What are we eating with this, Peter?
Well, this is one of those big meals. You know, this goes with like stews and.
That's great with a stew.
Yeah, stews, beef and barley type
Irish,
soup.
Your traditional Irish stuff.
You know what else? You know what else would go really nice with this? Hot baked bread with a really good butter, just like boom, right there out of the oven.
Isn't all butter good butter?
It's all good. No, there's butter that's better.
Right.
So this would go really nice with that. I mean, it doesn't need to necessarily be big and complex. It could go with, but something like that. That'd be good.
I'm feeling a stew with this.
Stew would be
that,
good.
Man.
Yeah.
And like I said, good Irish fare.
A base for
some
stew.
Yep. Some lamb
and a
bait.
Yeah,
put a little bit of lamb in that stew. There.
Yeah,
that'd
that would be tasty. This would be something
to
go
talking.
With. And of course, this will hold up quite well to any of your meats. It might overwhelm some of the milder chicken dishes. Probably wouldn't do pasta with it. A good like strong cheese, like a blue cheese, like you know, like blue cheese and crackers and you know something that sort of deal. It'll hold its own with that. So that's where I'd put that.
Could you use this in a marinade?
Oh, for sure. You know, you could definitely marinate this. You could, as we've mentioned already, you could put it in the stew. You could marinate, like if you're doing like a smoked ribs sort of thing, this could be your what do you call it? It's not working today. this could be
clear.
This could be, you know, what you marinate and, you know, get things going with it.
Yeah.
So this has a lot of uses. It's going to turn off some people. You know, it's not, the thing you're going to be careful about this, it's got that flavor that some people, the beer lovers, are going to like this, but even some of the beer lovers are going to be kind of turned off from... It's got some oomph to it.
It seems to me, though, that this could be reduced down for a sauce, too. Because it's got the...
Definitely.
Yeah, it's got a nice... a lot of caramel flavor, but like you know that kind of flavor where it seems like it would work well with a sauce if you reduced it really.
Yeah, I could see that. You could definitely work with that. So, all around. But again, this is the beer we should probably be drinking in October.
Yeah, well, I can't
definitely.
October through you know December, November, all those cold months here in California.
There you have it, another edition of Brewski, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. That's Brewski, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. Go there and join the Beer of the Month Club. You too can be tasting what we taste each week. And click on the Brewski tab right there on the right side of the page on SwoopsWorld.com. T-Bone, are we ready to go there, or should we take a quick break? What do you think?
Let's take a quick break.
We're going to take a quick break. Come back, and we'll be doing T-Bone's Time Out. You're listening to the SwoopsWorld on the TalkStar Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. And let's see what we're going to listen to here. We are going to listen to... Any suggestions, buddy? How about our friends from Acidic, man?
We have there you go.
Some rock and roll boys. This is Copper Man from Acidic.
Come Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day I wake up
at 5. For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Talk Story Radio.
Hello, this is Normandy Wilson, and you're listening to Snoop's World.
I don't know what else you got going on, but no one pays for sure.
You know that sound? It's time for sports with T-Bone's Timeout. Or as we say it here, it's T-Bone's Timeout.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, out there in the chat room, the internet, and everywhere else in the great beyond. We can't see you, but you can hear us, and that's the only thing that matters. Yeah, the captive audience. And that's one of my favorite things about this gig. You could turn it to another station, but...
Why would you do that?
Yeah. Why would you do that? Especially when I'm about to give you 21 reasons that you should definitely drink more beer.
Woohoo! Hey now!
Now, some of these...
Not that I need 21 more, no, but it's always good to have. It's always good to have in your back pocket.
Exactly. In honor of 21st birthdays and 21st amendments year-round and worldwide... going to go ahead and give you this quick list of 21 reasons that you should definitely drink more beer. Starting with number one, and I have not confirmed this study from a Finnish scientist, but it keeps your kidneys healthy. This study found that beer had more kidney benefits than other alcoholic drinks, with each bottle of beer that men consume daily lowering their risk of developing kidney stones by 40%.
I believe that.
I don't want kidney stones.
No, I definitely don't like kidney stones.
Beer makes me pee a lot, and as long as it makes that peeing... not painful, I'm totally cool.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
As long as it makes it not painful.
Apparently, it helps you it helps you when things go out the other end, too, because it has fiber. Because beer, especially dark beer...
which we are partaking in tonight.
It puts about a gram of soluble fiber in
such as Anderson Valley oatmeal stout. Salute to that.
Salute!
In addition to that, apparently the White House has its own... home brewing going on. There's a brewery inside the White House because beer is American. Patriotic. God bless it.
Before not to divert too much, but did you check out the new brewery?
I haven't. I tried to get over there and then just things did not work. The problem is when I got free time, when I got free time to go over there, it's like, oh, and then twice this happened, I was like, I think they're open now. And I looked, I'm like, no, they're not open now. They're open an hour from now, which is an hour too late. So that's been the problem every time. They got to work on that.
Hours,
that's true.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll get there. I will get there.
I know you will. You will report post haste.
Yes.
You know, next week, you know, at least Monday through Wednesday, my schedule is kind of blurry to wide open. So,
I think they're closed on those days.
Yeah, they're only
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's right.
I had that same problem.
Get out of here.
Carry on, my
reason number four out of 21 reasons to drink more beer. The president of the United States himself has been known to enjoy a pint or three. Whether it's
six or five.
to clean up a mess or to celebrate his Irish heritage. Reason number five, beer can boost your levels of B vitamins. And if you want more B vitamins, then what better way to get them than
B vitamins are good for your sex drive.
Because according to a Dutch study, yes.
They also help you with the hangover. That's why if you drink beer that has yeast in the, fillings in the bottom, so like unfiltered beer, it has, the yeast is what, in that whole process, ends up with some B vitamins. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you drink beers that are not filtered, you tend to have you can drink more with a less chance of getting, or a lesser hangover. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things, the B vitamins helps you with that whole thing. I don't know how, but I know it does. Yeah. And I've tested this theory.
Like I was going to say, that's the point. I was waiting for it.
It's true.
I was waiting for it.
I'm just going to go with this. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to get your head right.
Exactly.
That can help. Reason number six, as we can attest to here on Swoop's World, if you're bored with normal beers, there are tons of varieties to try. We have, we've maybe had a repeat. I don't know. I don't think we ever have.
We might have done once.
One time. There was one time where Swoop here got...
We gotta throw names out there?
Yeah.
Can you just say the one time where we had a...
That's the price you pay for creative control, okay?
They turned against me.
But it was just once. It was just once that we had...
There are bajillions of beers, and it's only... We're only getting more choices as the days go by. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not like the olden days, because number seven is that beer has... a rich history, being one of the oldest beverages humans have produced, dating back over 4,000 years to the folks back in Egypt and Mesopotamia, taking bread and soaking it in water for weeks at a time. That day, you do what you got to do to get drunk.
Right. And
that's one thing. One thing has been consistent throughout the generations.
Yeah.
You will do whatever you have to do to get drunk.
The problem with that Egyptian beer is they hadn't discovered hops yet. But
it worked for them.
It still was, I'm sure, very good stuff.
It still turned twos into tens.
Number eight, beer can even hydrate, quote unquote, slightly better than water, according to researchers in a recent study, recommending that athletes even.
I read that.
I read something this week where it says a good post-workout drink.
Uh huh. Yeah. True. You got protein. You got carbohydrates. You got fiber, you got water. It's beautiful. It's everything.
It's the perfect beverage.
Yes. Number nine, it's good for your bones. According to a 2009 study, people that drink beer can have higher levels of silicone in their blood, and that can be good for bone density. Number 10, I'm going to disagree with this because this says there are 400 different types of beer. There's way more than that.
That was last week.
Yeah, we're up to like 573,000 now. Number 11, beer floats are delicious. That means, by beer floats, they're talking about ice cream in your beer. Now, if you have a beer that you don't like on its own, yeah, jazz it up with some ice cream. That's cool. But personally, I don't know. I just like
beer. That doesn't work for me, yeah.
I just like beer. Number 12, a chemical compound in hops contains antiviral properties.
Yep.
Is there anything that the hop flower cannot do?
It's like hemp.
Researchers in Sapporo, Japan,
that's good rope.
Found that the compound humulone provides an effective guard against a virus that can cause severe forms of pneumonia and bronchitis in children. Now, if we would only let children drink beer, we would eliminate these diseases from the world.
I got in trouble for that. I tried
that. Oh. Reason number 13, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and James Madison were all beer brewers and drinkers. And good God, if I had enough money to fund and front a revolution, I would absolutely be brewing beer and drinking it heavily. Number 14, because you can do a lot of cool stuff with empty beer bottles. Number 15, also, because you can do cool stuff with empty beer bottles. I'm going to put the link in the chat line so you can see the pictures. Number 16, it could be good for your future political career. The former Prime Minister of Australia once set a beer chugging record when he was a student at Oxford. Bob Hawke downed...
Was it Foster's?
No, because he was in Oxford when he did this, so he drank something less Australian piss watery. But Bob Hawke downed a yard of ale in 11 seconds.
That's some serious drinking there.
Yeah.
Because I used to go to Yard House when you could still get a yard.
Uh-huh.
In 11 seconds, that's badass.
And, to this day, he claims that... Being able to do that endeared him to many people who would otherwise never even have considered voting, let alone voting for him. So, you get people that like to drink beer on your side, and you've just got
you
a
can
lot
become
of
the prime minister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Number 17, there are giant floating space clouds full of beer. Really, though. I'll put the, like I said, the link's coming. There are clouds out there in the universe that are just full of alcohol molecules. You could dive into them and just get wasted. The alcohol in these
clouds
get
chocolate wasted.
Could make 400 trillion pints of beer. I don't know what a trillion trillions is. It's like a trillion. All you have to do is travel 10,000 light years, which should only take a couple weeks, you know. The universe loves alcohol. It's telling us to drink. Like,
you know,
there's Branson, that whole thing.
Branson's probably going to have a tour of that pretty soon, because he's always trying to get out into space for a reason.
Hey, there we go. And that's a dude who likes to party.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. I would love to go on that trip with him. Number 18, and this says Guinness is actually a light beer in the sense that it has 125 calories per pint, and that means it has less calories than Budweiser or Coors.
But those aren't we don't we here.
I don't really
get
a crap about
those
calories.
Beers.
Yeah. This is
T-Bone does on occasion. But
I'm sure that this is written by a woman, because the next one is that beer is feminist, meaning that the first people that brewed beer were mostly women, and back in the old
did they have a choice?
In ancient Greek days, beer was the lower class drink that the women got to drink, while the men drank wine. Number 20, it helps you sleep.
We all know that.
Pass out, sleep, whatever.
There is some science behind it. Apparently, lactoflavin and nicotinic acid, both contained in beer, help you to sleep. And finally,
so that's why when I've had a dozen beers, I feel sleepy.
Yeah, it's because of the lactoflavin and the nicotinic acid.
There you have it, man. Yeah. It's like
lactoflavin,
like eating a turkey, man.
Yeah, there it is. Dopamine. Yeah.
And number 21, beer is delicious and it kicks ass. And if you don't want to drink beer, this article wasn't going to convince you anyway, because it's not really an article so much as a poorly put together slideshow. But still, the world is a better place when more people are having fun drinking beer.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm sure there was something that I could have tied into sports there, but
well, the sport is
those ball players rehydrate with beer, don't they?
That's right. Yeah, especially basketball
and
players.
And I've seen the sport of a chugging contest, which you mentioned.
Yep.
So, yeah, it all covered.
Yeah.
It covered.
Definitely connected.
For the folks who are following Major League Baseball, who are used to, at this point, seeing some players swallow their pride and some not, there is actually games being played still. The top headline about Major League Baseball on the interwebs tonight is that Ichiro Suzuki got his 4,000th career hit as a professional, as a top-level professional baseball player. Now, the first seven or so years of his career were spent in the NPL in Japan, or whatever.
Which they still consider a professional league. Just
yeah, it is.
That's where our guys go to retire.
Uh-huh.
Our guys.
But, you know, he's at the point where, I mean, he's set the record for single season, for hits in a single season here in Major League Baseball. If the guy spent his whole time here, he probably would be approaching 4,000 hits.
He's a serious hitter,
man.
I know some people are making splitting hairs, you know, as far, let's put it this way. If I took, and I was a good hitter, okay? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I didn't play in the pro ball, but I was a good hitter. So if I took, if most people
we're talking Pony League here? Or
everything. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you took every, like, I'll bet you, if the three of us took every hit we ever
we don't
had.
We don't cling to 4,000?
We're not getting near 4,000.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? 4,000 hits is impressive. It doesn't matter whether you're talking what level. I mean, that's a crazy number. So I think for people to split hairs on that is bullshit. Because, I mean, maybe the Japanese league isn't quite as competitive as our league, but we're still talking.
There's been some serious ball players.
There's some
out of that league,
serious though. Ball players there, and this guy, as you pointed out, T-Bone, this guy has hit 200.
He's gotten over
hits
200 hits
for every year
seasons.
That he. I think every year that he's been in the major leagues, I believe, except for the 1 year, he had 1 or 2 years where he was hurt. So pretty much every year he's been a full-time player. Minus injuries. I think he's hit 200. I mean, we're talking some crazy
numbers. I saw this
guy
hit a double one time, And I swear that ball was rolling on the ground when he swung at it. I mean, you know what I mean? It was, yeah. it was about in the dirt, and he just swung down, picked that, lifted that thing up off the. It seriously couldn't have been more than an inch or two above ground, and just pulled it to the opposite side of the field and just ripped it.
I mean, he was an amazing hitter. So no matter where he hit those base hits, that's an accomplishment.
There are only two other players that have hit over 4,000 hits as players at the top level of baseball, and those two are Ty Cobb and Pete Rose.
We knew Pete Rose was in there, didn't you? You just do it, man.
To be in that company is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Charlie Hustle, man. Yeah.
He's a little different than both of those guys. I think that Ty Cobb and Pete Rose are going to hang out and have a great time together. And
Well, they beat the shit out of each other.
Once they get that in their system, though, I think they'll have a really good time.
I agree.
I don't think Ichiro will be hanging out with those guys.
What are these fools doing?
I just had to slip that in.
Definitely different personalities.
Yes. Other things that happened in the world of baseball today. Chris Davis hit number 46 with about 5 weeks left in the regular season. He could get close to 60. That's pushing it. He could get up into the
he can get the high 50s though, easy.
Hey, good for him, He's going to have to go on a hell of a tear, but the O's still have something to play for. So that is on his side. Jason Hayward got hit in the face.
Oh, my God, I heard about this.
A pitch today. His jaw is broken. I don't really want to watch the video. Yeah, that just sucks. Not the only guy to get hit in the face today, either.
Really?
Let's see the guy's full name. Max Stassi, who plays for the Astros, also got plunked in the face today. I don't think he had a broken jaw or anything of that matter, but he got hit and was bleeding all out of his nose and stuff. Rough day to be a hitter. That stuff, it happens sometimes. Better than going to swing and hitting the ball into your own face, because I've done that.
Oh, that's what Doug DeCinsis did, right?
Yeah.
Right off the home plate.
I've done that, and that's not fun. Never looked the same afterwards either. I used to be a handsome man.
Oh!
No, I'm not watching.
Oh, my God.
Not watching.
In actual scoreboard results today.
He shook it off, man. I'm walking off the field like nothing happened.
I'm fine.
Put me in the game, coach.
Let me go rub some dirt on it.
Yeah.
In scores today, the A's losing to the Mariners. Let's see here. The Orioles, with Chris Davis hitting his 46th home run, took down Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is really charged back, and they're in second place in that division right now.
Yeah. I think they started the day tied. So if they hadn't lost, I think they'd still be tied. I could be wrong.
We will see. We'll get to the standings. The scores are boring. Nobody cares. Let's talk standings because...
Well, before we go there, I was watching the Dodger game today. And all the things we said about the Marlins, field, it's all true, man.
Yeah.
That is just pain. I mean, we saw those pictures, but when you got to watch a whole nine-inning game of it, like, we
is
watched...
Is orange or something?
No, it's like all this lime green and everything.
Yeah, the
fences
are all nasty lime green.
Oh, my God.
They hurt your eyeballs. This thing they have out beyond the outfield
fence. That is just ugly.
Looks like something they bought at a swap meet.
Oh, my God, that is ugly. That is ugly.
You know, we have people listening in Florida, so it'd be nice.
Hey, they're probably not too happy that they...
Well, I'm guessing that they don't like it either, because when they showed the stands,
not a lot
there was about 2,000 people there. The entire upper deck was empty. Not a single person in the upper deck, and the second deck was maybe 20% full. And even right behind home plate, half of home plate was empty. And they're playing the first place Dodgers, right? So that's usually a team that you would think Dodgers, all those years they spent in Vero Beach and all that, you would think that would sort of...
Great for a league, man.
You would think that would generate some bodies. No, nope.
Maybe people still haven't gotten the memo that Mozzie Guillen got fired.
Yeah.
Maybe they're still pissed.
Maybe. Anyhow,
such a damn good
that place was so ugly. It lived up to the billing. It was ugly. You
know, Florida
is a place that it's a case study in bad taste in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Miami has some really cool things. There's a lot of really cool architecture and stuff there.
Yeah, especially in South Beach.
This is not one of those things.
Does it drop the ball here?
Yeah. Well, now, they did sometimes pan through the crowd, and there were some definitely attractive women there.
That's Miami, man. I'm telling you.
But not an attractive stadium. So, no. There you have it.
In Miami today, the Dodgers beat the Marlins 4-1. Not a particularly close game. Zachy G, now 12-3 on the year.
He's looking good.
Hasn't missed a beat since missing a few games with the collarbone issue. got to just snap back from those kind of things.
Yeah, you do.
And he has. Hasn't started any brawls recently.
That's why he could probably finish out the season.
He's learned his lesson, I guess. The Dodgers, they're just, they are tied with several teams for the second best record in baseball, I believe, right now.
I think there ought to be, when you run in drills, I think that would be a drill for pitchers coming off the mound to take on the person charging at him. you gotta have a move, man.
You gotta have a plan, man.
Definitely gotta have a plan.
That's the kind of thing. Even if your team isn't telling you to practice it.
But who do here's which one do you go?
Think that pitchers together.
Do you go the defensive tackle, defensive end route, or do you go with like a WWE wrestler route?
Headlock or suplex?
You either go the swim move or do you go to the takedown? You have to have a plan.
I think for most of these guys, the swim move is their best option because most pitchers, it's kind of a mixed bag because there's a lot of pitchers who are giant freaks of nature guys.
But they're still lanky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're delicate, These guys, their bodies are very, very finely tuned, delicate things.
At least they put one side of their body is.
Yeah. aside from Bartolo Colon, these are delicate people. And they're, you just feel like if you just blow on them a little bit, they might fall over in some of these guys. So I think most of them are better off trying to avoid contact rather than lower the shoulder, as we've witnessed at least once this year. Especially when you consider that they've got people to back them up 30 to 50 feet away.
But the guys usually get to the mound before those people show up.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. The swim move, you just need to avoid the initial contact.
Yeah.
By the time he takes off from the plate, everybody who's coming from the bases, all your infielders will be there if you can just avoid that initial car crash.
So that'll be known here at Swoops World, if you're a pitcher in the big leagues. We're out there for the swim move. Is that going to be your move
until
they charge
you? That should be most of these guys' first move. That being said, there are a couple of exceptions. Anybody who watched baseball in the 1990s knows that there is one truly awesome and absolutely top way to handle someone charging the mound, and that's to do the Nolan Ryan sidestep, headlock, punch. Because that old man knew how to show a whippersnapper.
But see, there's guys like that that were like Randy Johnson, fearless.
Randy Johnson,
Nolan Ryan, fearless. Because bottom line is, you gotta stand up at the plate again someday, and I'd still throw over 100 miles an hour. Dodge that, bitch.
As long as they don't throw at the face, we don't want to see any more of those.
God, that was
brutal. Don't want to see any more of those today.
That was brutal.
Thankfully, baseball's done for the day. Tampa Bay was not quite tied. They played a couple less games. So, as far as games back, they were even before today. But Boston won, Tampa Bay lost. Their game back,
and the Red Sox just whooped the
12-1
or something like that. 12-0 to the Giants.
They're gonna come in Friday and do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know about that. they might win, but I don't see them.
Two of the best and hottest teams right now going at it this weekend here in Los Angeles.
I thought Atlanta was the hottest team in the league right now.
Well, they were before Jason Hayward decided not to take himself out of the way of the ball there.
Oof.
He's gonna be out for a little bit, and He'll be back well before the playoffs.
Yeah.
You can eat even with a broken jaw nowadays. You know, the technology.
Why are you shut? Put you back on the field. Football players. Who was that football player who played a whole half a season with his jaw wired shut? I can't remember who that was. He had the big.
This had to have been in the 70s or
something.
Yeah. Back when the doctors were just. Who's writing my check? You're fine.
Shake it off. Shake it off.
What? Funny how you heard shake it off, man.
I'm trying. It just won't shake off, coach.
This bone sticking out. Suck it up.
Yeah, that was the one. The open wounds were the funny ones. There's a lot of things where, you know, spit on it. Rub dirt on it. I don't think that works.
Yeah, it does.
I'm not a doctor, but the...
The whole rubbing dirt.
Like,
can I consult with Bear Grylls first?
Can I just heat something up and burn it? Can we just do that instead? Boston is in first place in the AL East. The Tampa Bay Rays a game back in second. That whole division, minus the Canadians, well over 500. Even the Yankees. Who
better go light on the Canadians while you're here this week, man.
Oh, I had a...
encounter.
I walked out to talk on the phone, and she saw me and turned around and walked in the house. Mm-hmm. But I was on the phone, so she was being polite. The Canadians, though, they're having some troubles. I can't blame them. That's a tough division, man. That's a tough place to play when you're
for sure,
especially with the expectations they had going into this year. In the Central, Detroit has risen above the pack. The Indians, despite getting to pick on the Angels a little bit, they're 5.5 games back with about 28 games to play, and it's going to be tough.
So now this year, there's going to be
two wild cards in each league.
So how's the setup? Do you know?
Is the setup a one-game playoff between the two.
One game, okay.
One game playoff.
Yes.
Wow.
It is a one-game playoff between the two wild cards.
Well, I will say that should make things pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it now makes a lot of teams that would be, like, done
mm-hmm.
still in the
I think that, you know, that has already shown itself in the way certain teams handled themselves coming up to the trade deadline a couple weeks ago.
For sure.
We saw
very few big trades.
Yeah, there were not,
I mean,
there were not a lot of teams that had already
no star players,
and said
were right?
sellers, you know? So, yeah, I think that's... going to make a difference, you know, down the stretch here. And just the idea that you're still alive for
so then it's a one-game playoff, and then
once we get the one-game playoff out of the way between the two wild cards, it's essentially the same format at that point.
So the best record plays the wild card.
Yeah,
and
now
that.
That's not 100% especially this
if
year
the same
because
league
this
and all
year
that.
There's the top teams are kind of getting screwed in the first series. They'll still play against the lowest. You know, if you're the best record, you'll still play against the wild card,
right?
But the way they're doing it, it's like because of the way the schedule is working out, because they're cramming more games into less time this year. I think that number one teams, like the top team in each bracket, is going to end up having to play the first two games on the road in the division series or something weird like that.
That's odd.
Yeah, it's screwy, man. I don't get it. Because they want them to have home field at the end if they need to, but it's like, what? Do a 2-1 or do a 1-1 whatever. I don't know. It's goofy. Baseball is just, they're confusing themselves with their scheduling stuff right now. So, but in the West, the Angels aren't in last place, thankfully, because they picked up a new team to pick on in their division, and that's the Houston Astros. Who now find themselves at 41-85.
41 games, man.
The Angels.
that's depressing.
That is.
The Angels have the worst record in Southern California, however. Even with a worse record
really?
Than the.
Well,
boys,
yeah,
they're two games
behind the Padres.
Yeah,
right?
So for all the money that Artie Moreno is.
Well, the Padres aren't in last. No.
The Padres are not in last for the moment. They did win today.
They're not last.
They beat the Pirates today 2-1. So
I noticed today
the
they
Giants,
started tied.
Yeah,
the Giants are sitting at the bottom of the pack,
let's
huh?
Let's see if we have
Giants
a
Giants who won the World Series are sitting
wow,
last.
That's
we have a
brutal,
score
man.
Crazy,
or if they were off today.
Vegas is jumping
Giants,
for joy.
The Giants got their butt handed to them by the Red Sox.
Lost to the Red Sox.
Yeah, the Giants, defending World Series champions, still in last place in the NL.
How many games are left? About 40
games?
We're
at 127. Yeah. We have 35 games left. No, 45 games. 35. 35-ish games left, depending on where the teams are schedule-wise. Yeah. So, just over a month of baseball left. And Atlanta, still on top in the NL East.
Yeah,
and
they got the best record
in
baseball,
are 77-49, the most wins in baseball right now. Mm-hmm. The rest of that division is a lost cause. God, the Phillies are in the same boat as the Angels.
Yeah.
They were contenders recently,
I watched the Dodgers play them, you know, mm-hmm. and it's hard to believe. Wasn't it just four years ago that they were in the World Series?
4 years ago, they were losing the World Series.
And then
the
year
Yankees,
before that, they won.
They won it, yeah.
And they pretty much have the same players.
A lot of the same guys.
Not all of them, but you recognize a lot of names.
They fired Charlie Manuel
last
week.
They're 4 years older, too.
But they're four years older.
You look at them and you're like, wow, here's a team that was just like, even if they didn't necessarily win everything, they were fearsome.
Even when they didn't necessarily win everything, I still think they were a more talented team than the Yankees when the Yankees beat them in the World Series. They had the most, by far the most impressive pitching starting rotation. I mean, four of their five guys were guys that every team in
Aces
the league
anywhere
was
else.
Bidding wars for. Yeah. To see... And, you know, the writing's been on the wall in Philadelphia for a couple years now, but to see the inaction of their front office to do anything about it, and now, let's fire our manager with a month left in the season, because that'll help things. That's the problem. Yeah, that's it.
You call the locker room morale right there.
Yeah. You know,
it was hard to watch because you watch a bunch of players that are still good, mm-hmm. still got some talent. And you can just see it in an organization
that's just a beast that everybody was after for a while.
There was Cliff Lee. There was Halliday. That's the thing. Those guys both were, who's going to get him this year? Yeah. You know?
And they're still both having good seasons. Mm. Not great seasons.
They're 21 games back, man.
That's the scary thing is you look at their pitching, at least those first three guys, their pitching is still good.
Yeah,
they're
those,
just not
those
putting
all guys
numbers
who are,
up. Not
and
great.
And Hamels, too. They're all guys
Hamill,
who
yeah,
are
Mark
past
Hamill.
Their prime.
Not Mark Hamill.
Cole Hamill. Mark Hamill. That's
Luke Skywalker.
You're talking about guys who their best years are behind them for all of them, but they are still, they're still number two guys in just about any rotation.
Oh, for sure.
In baseball. And to see,
like Cliff Lee lost, but the Dodgers beat him like 3-1.
Yeah.
You know, he's like they didn't crush him, and then Cole Hamill's won against the Dodgers. It's not like I follow the Phillies. I know because they played the Dodgers. Those are the games I watch. And you're like, wow, it's just hard to watch a team. I'm not complaining. It was nice to beat them 2 out of 3. But you're like, wow, how quickly did they fall right off?
It's funny. Even when they were, contending for championships, my brother was living over there back when that was all happening. And the talk radio stuff. Sports talk radio is funny anyway. I like to listen to the call-in guests. Yeah. And the call-ins over there, they're a bunch of bums. They can't hit anything. Really, that's a fan base that is just incapable of being satisfied.
Oh,
I would think that in a town like that, where even when things are at the highest of the high, you can't satisfy people, I don't know how you can let things go. And make almost no meaningful changes to your roster over this time.
Yeah.
And the only meaningful things we've seen have been people exiting. And now we're gonna fire the manager. That's the problem. Yeah. It's just funny stuff. Man. The Pirates, after taking 2 of 3 from the Padres, find themselves a game up in the Central. I think that is the division where one, if not both, wild cards will be coming from in the National League. Because, as it stands right now, that's where it would be. Like I said, the East is done. The West isn't necessarily done. Arizona's not out of the wild card thing, but they've got some serious ground to recover if they want a shot to take down one of the three top teams in the Central, which are Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Cincinnati in that order, all three of which are over 70 wins. And flip a three-sided coin. I mean, who's going to win that division? Pittsburgh's been on top for most of the season.
Yeah, but this time last year, we were talking about...
But they made it past the All-Star break without fading this time so far. Yeah. And
but we were talking about that last year, so...
St. Louis is on their heels, though, man.
Yeah. That whole... I mean, like I said...
Since he's right behind St. Louis, yeah. So there's.
If I'm betting on that division, it's St. Louis, just because they have been so consistent.
Yeah,
they are a team unlike the Phillies, who they lose people, but they bring people in.
They have done. I mean,
they're good. They're good at that.
In the last 2 years, they've replaced a manager and how many other key guys and. Haven't missed a beat.
Like nobody even notices hardly. Yeah, they are a well-run team.
Yeah. I think that Cincinnati's pitching staff is the best of the three. I think that their offense is a little bit one-dimensional in comparison. I mean, you've got kind of Joey Votto and who hitting the ball. But their pitchers, I don't see a better team in the Central, you know, that can take that division. You know, and when you're talking in the grand scheme of the National League, it's a little different. I think that the Dodgers staff has really... once everyone got healthy, finally, things definitely changed in terms of their performance. But I think that Cincinnati, down the stretch, is in the best spot out of those three teams to go deep in the playoffs. But like you said, the Cardinals—you cannot argue with consistency, and there hasn't been a more consistent franchise in baseball over the last decade. So, you know, there's—you guys want to talk baseball anymore?
No, we're good.
The Dodgers are in first place in the West, and that's not going to change.
It doesn't look like
it. The Dodgers are going to win the division. You didn't hear it here first because I was not the first one to say it, but they are going to win that division. If you like baseball and you like to see teams get hot, this has got to be fun to watch. Even if you're not a Dodgers fan, and I'm not a Dodgers fan, I went to the game a week ago, now eight days ago, I guess, and it's just a fun time right now.
You know,
it's good to have a good team in L.A.
It is good to have a good team in L.A.
The Lakers suck.
Like you, it's kind of like you, I'm not a Dodgers fan. I have been in years past, but it's kind of good to see some good stuff happening here in L.A. I still say with all the cool stuff and great stuff that this Puig has done, he's still, you know, like you were talking about when he was a minor league player, he still misses the boat a lot of times, man. It's like he goes out partying after a game the next day, and then after a game the next day he doesn't show up on time, and you know it damages the team. Now he hit the game winning home run, I understand that, after they put him in, but he couldn't play most of the game. They didn't put him in as a pitch hitter. Guys like that, man, I'd like to see the kid do well, but it's got to be something, you know, he's got to kind of come along with the program. And especially when you talk about the Dodger organization. The Dodger organization has always been, you know, they've had, you know, a couple guys, you know, Steve Howell and stuff like that. But they've always been this kind of organization where you got to show up. You got to do the right thing. You know, you got to be the team player. And I think it seems to be like a lot, every once in a while, you keep hearing he's all about himself. He's not about the team. And I could be wrong, but I'm not following that closely.
We went to the Yankee game where we saw the Dodgers play in New York, and this is the perfect thing that fits what you're saying. Is he comes up against the Yankees? He clearly is wants to show his stuff, strut, and I respect that. I mean, you're in a premier ballpark. You want to show your thing. Boom! He cracks the ball. Right center, and Davey Lopes is there at first base, and Davey Lopes is like, you know, the no, don't go sign, and he just blows right through it, gets thrown out at second base. You know, Davey Lopes is, you know, he's just kind of keeping.
And Davey Lopes was a scrapper back in the day.
Oh, he was a scrapper. You know? He knew something about base running.
You don't
want to
piss him off, man.
And he knew something about base running too. You know, so, but you could tell he just kind of gave it kind of like a little shake. The next bat he strikes out. The third at bat, he hits almost the exact same ball, right center. David Lopes is giving him the no-go, and he just blows through the sign. This time he makes it, right? And so now he's got a double, you know? And you can just see David Lopes, just literally, hand on his head, just shaking it. And, you know, in the Dodgers organization, as you were saying, I mean, they're, as with some of these older, more, like, established places like the Yankees and the Dodgers and, you know, think the, like the Red Sox, like, there's a way to do things. Yeah. This is how we do things. And he, I will say that Puig has been pretty good, but he's when he's messed up,
it's big. Blows up,
it's big.
Yeah,
just like
exactly.
The Florida thing where he's down there, and I suspect the the Dodgers are gonna like chalk it up to like okay, he's in Cuba, he's in Cuba, he's gonna reconnect, he's gonna party, you know.
He was partying with LeBron. There's no Cuban.
I don't know.
There's
you
no
know?
Cuban angle here.
I think they're gonna give some slack, but you know, this is gonna be a thing. It's whether or not he's gonna step up and reach that next, because he's clearly got talent. That's not the issue. That's not even the issue. It's is he going to fit in? And it's, you know what this is? In a different sort of way, it's like bringing in A-Rod. The Yankees do things a certain way. Derek Jeter, and I'm not even a Yankees fan, but you got to respect that guy. He's a guy who knows how the Yankees do things, and he became that guy. Don Mattingly, in his day, was the Yankee guy. Puig, and the Dodgers have sort of a different way of doing things, but they still have a way. Puig needs to figure out, is he going to fit into this, or is he going to just go showboat somewhere
else?
That's
because
it's going to be an interesting thing.
Interesting about that. You know, the first thing I thought about, I worked a specialized unit one time, and the boss sat me down, and I was the youngest guy there, and he says, listen, kid, he says, we work hard, we play hard. And he says, so, bottom line is, if you go out and play hard with us after night, you better show up for work the next day. Otherwise, you can't come play. And, you know, that's somebody needs to sit Puig down and say, listen, you know, we don't give a rat's patoot if you want to go out after the game and have a good time and party your ass off.
As long as it doesn't affect
your work. As long as it doesn't affect your work. You show up on time the next day, ready to go. And if you can't do that, then...
Yeah, if your eyes are bloodshot and you're dry heaving in your locker, then you're not ready.
You're
to
not
go.
Ready to go, man. So.
Yeah, and we talked about this even before we got called up. I mean, the
we had a long discussion.
And the things I heard at that time is the Dodgers aren't even going to bring this guy up because while he's got the $1 million arm and the $1 million bat, he's got the 10-cent head. Yeah. And I didn't think they were going to bring him up. And I don't think if Dodgers plans had gone the way they had expected to, if they hadn't,
you wouldn't
had,
see this behavior.
Yeah. First of all, if they hadn't had all that injuries that they had early on, they would not have brought him up when they did. They would have waited until
they
much later, like about
him.
Now, and they would have groomed him.
Yeah.
They were in a pinch. They needed someone, and God knows he's come in and done.
Oh, he was ready to go on the field,
right?
You know, talent wise.
But the question was. Is he got the 10-cent head, or has he got a head that can? Does he need more training? Does he need more, like, how do you deal with this stardom, all this stuff? And I was surprised at how well he handled it in the beginning. I mean, he'd make mistakes, but then he would learn from the mistakes. You'd see him do, like, he'd miss the cutoff guy. And the next game, he'd hit the cutoff guy. He was mostly moving. He'd always have his bad moments, but he was mostly moving. But then he has these moments where he doesn't show up.
Do you think
that's cardinal rule, man? You show up on time,
right?
I mean, that doesn't matter what job you're doing. It doesn't matter whether you're a major league baseball player or you're a line cook at McDonald's. You don't show up on time, you're going to not have a job really soon.
But here's the thing: Do you think we see this more? I you know, when you talk about professional athletes, they've been the shiznit all their lives, right? They're the top guy in their high school, they're the top guy in their college, but do we see this guys who come from a situation where they were the superstar somewhere, whether it's college or whether it's professional sports in a different country? Because now you're really not the superstar, but you still have that superstar mentality, superstar behavior. You know, you think that is that a kind of the situation here? Because he was a superstar.
He was.
Where he was. I mean, on a professional level.
Yeah. I think, at least the most recent travesty here, the most recent, he didn't show up the game on time.
Right.
Which apparently what they say is he was scheduled to take a break anyhow. Like he was going to have an off day.
Yeah, that's what they say now. That's cover up, man.
But whether he was or not, it doesn't matter. They still, you're still required. It's not like
you're still going to show up for the
meeting.
It's
not like you have the day off.
Yeah, you got to be there on time.
You're not going to start. Right. You may not be the guy. And I think what happened in this particular instance is he went to Florida and there was a huge outpouring there. He got a ton of attention. They talk about the first game where the Dodgers played against the Marlins. I forget the guy's name. The pitcher for the Marlins was also a similar situation where this guy was like a star.
They defected too.
Defected. And so there was a whole Cuban thing going on. I think what happened, and then that game happened. I think they went out and partied. I think it was just like,
well, there's no doubt they went out and partied.
Right, they went out and partied. But
it's still a justification for showing up.
I agree 100%. But I think in that instance, I think he got carried away. Because in the last month or
two... You're making excuses for him.
No, I'm not making excuses at all. Because I think that's what happened this one time. But here's the thing is this going to happen every time he rolls into every time he rolls into Florida? Every time he rolls into New York? I mean, this is a big problem. Not a minor problem. He had been pretty good. He'd had some rocky moments when he first came on. And then he's been pretty good for a period, and now he's having a rocky moment. It's going to be interesting to see whether this is this a pattern, or is this a one-time thing.
I'm seeing Daryl Strawberry.
I know. That's, I'm with you. I agree. I mean, I was the guy who was like, this is probably not the guy they want because of all of this. So, the guy's got talent. There's no doubt about that. Nobody can dispute that.
You can't dispute that.
But has he got that 10-cent head? And I got to say, it's looking more and more like he's got that 10-cent head.
All right, now he's about 15 to 20 cents.
So we'll just have
get that value going back up there.
It's definitely exciting to watch the guy because you just never know what
it was exciting to watch Tom Marinovich.
I don't think he ever knows what
it is. It was exciting to watch. You can run that list, man. It was exciting to watch.
And that terrifies front offices.
Yes, it does.
This is
the Dodgers are very nervous about this.
They're getting him on the cheap still for the moment. But, I mean,
when it's time to sign that big one, you got to go, well,
do I really is it want worth it? To spend tens of millions of dollars
on a guy who might just
show up at the ballpark when he wants to show up at the ballpark. Yeah. I mean, who
knows? Pick up a couple DUIs.
Which apparently he's already had these sort of near misses. I mean, he's at this point. It's amazing to watch. He's a guy with a ton of talent. He's at the point where, I mean, he could easily piss it all away. He could also easily become, not easily, but become a giant star.
We don't even have to go back far. Just in your lifetime, how many guys with a ton of talent do we see piss it away?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't have enough fingers and toes to name those guys.
Yeah.
In a couple of sports, man. I mean, it's a shame to watch. And,
yeah. So he's definitely skirting the line. He's had his moments where he's spot on. He's kind of focused. And then you can see his moments where he's a little bit scattered and not paying attention. So,
that's what David Lopes is going on.
So it'll be interesting. It'll definitely. I mean, it's just the one thing nobody disputes is that the guy's got talent.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, preseason football is a couple weeks deep now, and.
Let's take a break before we go to football.
Okay.
Is that right for you?
Yeah.
Listen to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio Network. We're in the middle of T-Bone's timeout. We're going to come back and do a little preseason football talk. And in the meantime, we're going to listen to J.D. Nash. This is called 55. Back after this.
Slow in the city you left behind, filled with heavy hearts and dying arts, having no rhythm or rhyme.
Running.
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hi, I'm Angela Madsen, and I row across oceans, and I've really enjoyed being a guest here at Swoops World. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Swoops World on the Talkstar Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. Let me tell you about a couple good friends of Swoops World, SoCal Mobile Detailing, where Brandon Williams goes after the dirt. Best prices in town. If you're anywhere in the Southern California area, he will come to you. You know, wash, wax, interior cleaning, all that kind of good stuff. Give him a call at 310-997-5660 or 562-856-8121. Or you can send him an email at so.calmds@gmail.com. Let him know the Swoops World sent you. Rowworks, formerly Powerhouse Fitness, owned and operated by our good friend Jack Nunn, where all your indoor rowing, boot camp, personal training, and much, much more. You'll be trained by a lot of Olympians there, guys who've been there, done that, guys and gals who've been there and done that. Location is 5750 Boathouse Lane. You can go to www.powerhousefit.com. Give them a call at 562-688-1716. Let them know the Swoops World sent you, and your first week is free. Timo, tell us about this color patterns.
Well, if you're cooler than me and can afford an iPad, then you can afford the $1.99 that it costs to get the color patterns app. Brought to you by the parent company of Swoops World, Talk Story Media. Color patterns is a really cool thing because some folks like the idea of creating art, but are sort of lost when it comes to having any kind of direction. I'm one of those people. I want to make cool-looking things, but if you just give me a blank piece of paper and some pens, pencils, and paint, I will stare at it like a monkey trying to screw a coconut. The cool thing, color patterns does the first part for you. You have all these cool preset patterns. The lines are already there. All you have to do is not F it up. So all you got to do is color
in. You know, and even if you do, you can start all over.
Yeah, the great thing, and this is the cool thing about computers, is that you can undo.
Undo.
And you can start totally fresh. Once you make your creation, once you have colored your patterns in how you see fit, you got a whole bunch of different colors to choose from, thousands upon thousands of colors, allegedly. And once you do that, you can share your pictures on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Dropbox, Flickr, wherever you want to put it on the interwebs, you can. You can even cross over into the actual physical realm and have a postcard printed up, sent to any of your friends and family all over the world.
Absolutely.
For those folks who still use the good old-fashioned snail mail. Am I missing anything about
color
patterns?
I think
you got
it all, man. You knocked it out of the park.
Even if you don't want to finger paint, you can use a stylus.
That's true.
And you can really hone your skills.
Yes, so. Indeed.
Check it out. Color patterns. It's in the App Store for your iPad. $1.99. Talk Story Media. Boom.
Kapow. Get it.
Kapow.
Two-thirds of us here at Swoops World are regular people on bicycles and cyclists. And if you're looking for a place to ride or a route to take while you're in the Orange County area, check out Where to Bike Orange County, because Peter wrote it. Tell us all about it, Peter.
So Where to Bike Orange County. I was going to grab the book, but I have no
it's
idea.
Been,
what
it's been moved.
It's been moved.
I noticed that when I was in the middle of my building.
I have no idea where that went. I do have an idea who may have taken it, and you're in trouble. Where to Bike Orange County is part of a travel series.
Let me just tell you, they're sold out at the Barnes & Noble over in the marina.
Woohoo! That's good news for me. Anyhow, it's part of a travel series. There's, I believe, around 12 titles. I did the Where to Bike Orange County. Orange County is a very bike-friendly location. So for those of you who might live there or nearby, if you pick up the book Where to Bike Orange County, you will find 80-plus rides altogether. 50 of those are more adult-oriented. 30 of those are kids-oriented. And each ride tells you where to go. It's got accurate maps, side trips, places to eat, pit stops along the way. There's everything from
points of interest.
There's everything from the, you know, kind of casual 3 or 4 miles stop and hang out all day to the 40 or 50 miles and just, you know, make your heart burst sort of rides, depending on what you like to do. It's all in the book. The book also comes with an app that has a very useful map feature that shows you where you should be and where you are. Book is available on for those of you in the Long Beach area. We can tell you that One of the Long Beach Barnes & Nobles here is sold out. The other one still has some copies. There, you can get it at REI. Some of your local bike shops carry it in Orange County and the nearby surrounding area. And you can get it on, of course, the big box stores online, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, yada, yada, yada. So check it out.
Go to the homepage at swoopsworld.com. Right here on the homepage at swoopsworld.com, there is a link. You click on that right there. It says where to bike Orange County, and that'll take you to the Amazon store.
There you
go. Tomorrow on Swoops World Primetime, author and life coach Karma Spence will join us. And next week on Swoops World Late Night, Pete Marchica returns to the studio. Outstanding independent artist, musician there, and we'll have him back in the studio. And all the cool things. We're right in the middle of T-Bone's timeout. Back to you, T-Bone.
Well, you guys and I feel the same way for the most part, you know, in terms of big picture about preseason football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why am I watching it? I mean, I know why I'm watching it, because, I mean, you don't watch it, but I occasionally tune in because of sheer boredom and sort of a desperate yearning for football. You don't get most of the excitement in the preseason, because the guys that play during the regular season don't do a lot. They don't play much. But occasionally, the great thing about football, even in preseason, is guys get the blood flowing, they get that piss and vinegar in them, and occasionally they let their emotions out. Now, we saw something in the game on Saturday between the Houston Texans and the Miami Dolphins that you don't see pretty much ever in the NFL. Even when you see it at the college level, it's a big deal, because it's just one of those things that you've been taught not to do since the very first time someone handed you a helmet.
The very first. Now, this just goes on your head, son. Yeah.
Now, I know. Pop Warner football, you have to weigh in before every game. And you weigh in wearing all of your gear.
Yes,
but you're
you
not
do.
Holding your helmet when you weigh in, because your helmet is freaking heavy. And even these new super fancy hardcore helmets, they're still heavy.
Yep.
And they are very, very hard. So when the defensive end from the Houston Texans, Antonio Smith, took Richie Incognito's helmet, an offensive
Smashed
lineman for the
off
Dolphins,
his head, man.
Took it off of his head and proceeded to swing it at Incognito, at his head region, you can see why this was not well received in the NFL community.
Or, you know, here's the thing. Had he been off the field, outside of the NFL community, he'd have got booked.
Yes. That is what we call assault.
Yeah, it is exactly what we call assault.
And that is the cool thing about football, is that you can do things that are illegal in polite society.
Yeah.
But he stepped outside of the bounds of football.
Even outside the bounds. And you know you stepped way out if you've done that.
Yeah. You're encouraged to hurt people. You know, in the right places, just not in their head. And Antonio Smith, he is appealing the suspension that was handed to him by the league.
You know, sometimes you got to take your cookies and just go.
And this suspension he got is so cake. He got suspended for the last two games of the preseason. And the first game of the regular season. Now, during the preseason part of the suspension, he can still practice with the team and attend every single team function. All meetings, all practices, everything else. The only time that the suspension will hurt him in a real sense is during that 1 week, the opening week. He cannot practice or attend meetings or anything like that. And that's going to be detrimental to him and the team, because this is a guy who's a starter and a contributor to this team. But he's getting off so easy.
Yeah!
This is just really funny. I mean, you know, there's some financial loss on his part, because when you get suspended for a game in the NFL, you lose that week's paycheck. But
sometimes you just got to take your lumps.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes you just go.
If he got away, I mean, he's the thing is that the guy he took a swing at, Richie Incognito, is an asshole. I mean, he's been in his share of altercations. He got kicked out of two colleges while he was, you know, playing college football, Nebraska being one of them. And he gets under people's skin very, very quickly. But that doesn't excuse taking the dude's helmet off and trying to bust him over the head with it. That's the kind of thing that can send a guy to the hospital. And even a guy who's a total dickhead, you're not justified in sending him to the hospital in this way. If you guys want to take off all the pads and helmets and scrap hand-to-hand, go for it.
Go for it.
But
like hockey.
But that's if you have agreed to the terms of battle in football, and those terms include getting to keep your helmet on your head and
And if your helmet comes off, then you get to like
tweet,
leave me alone. Yeah.
Okay,
and that's legit. So, that's like fair.
You know, there's the ability to appeal things. I understand that. You know, I worked for an organization once where they could give you a penalty, right? And you have a chance to appeal. But every time you had that chance to appeal, you had to sign something that says, you know, we recommended that you get suspended for a day or two, but when you appeal it, a different group of people will evaluate it, which could result in your termination. So, you know, you kind of think about these appeals. You know, you go, well, I can take a couple of days off.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Or I feel that strongly about it, I'm willing to risk my career. I was in the right.
Well, and you know, the players' union, just like most other, you know, labor organizations, sides automatically and just about without question with the worker, the member, initially. Yeah. This one, I even if I'm the union guy, I'm like, this isn't something, you didn't take your helmet off and swing it at management.
Yeah. You took your helmet off and
we might be able to support that.
You took another player's helmet off, another member of our union, and swung it at him.
Which means through the course of a 16-game season, you're going to see about 100-plus members of that same society coming up against you.
This dude got off easy. I mean, good for him, I guess. Like, I'd want to get off easy if I made a major...
stupid mistake.
The good thing for mistake? Him is that...
You consider this a faux pas?
It was a lapse in judgment. Yeah. Lapse in judgment. Yeah.
There you go.
But preseason football doesn't matter, which means that not that many people were watching, which means that even though this is a story on ESPN and SportsCenter now, it's still not that big of a deal. Because people don't care unless the lights are really bright, I guess. So,
true
which
that.
Is why Puig is a big story, mm-hmm. because it's getting down to nut-cutting time,
mm-hmm.
and people are starting to think, well, maybe he is going to F up when it matters. Whereas right now, this just flat-out didn't matter. And like I said, Richie Incognito, the offensive lineman for the Dolphins, these guys have had beef before, and they are definitely going to have beef again. I don't know that they play each other in the regular season. Probably not. And I don't think the Dolphins are going to make the playoffs. So I don't think they'll be seeing each other in the Super Bowl. Actually, no, they're both AFC. So they would be playing. If they both made the playoffs, they'd play before then. But Richie Incognito, he gets under a lot of people's skin. This guy just... You're in for two series, three series. It's a preseason.
It's a preseason game. Yeah, you're in,
this
you're out,
man. This
was
actually the second quarter, so he probably played like four or five series. It's like, dude, this is not the time or the place for this. So anyway, Antonio Smith loses one real week of football, and afterwards on Twitter, Richie Incognito said, football is an intense game. Blood runs hot. I've been there. Emotions run high. People lost their cool. Thank God no one got hurt. Words of wisdom passed down via Twitter. Real football starts in a couple weeks. Check back next week for our college football preview.
Hey, we're going to do our thing this year again, right? Where we all challenge each other for the whole season.
Picks. Yeah. You know it.
Big skin picks.
I got to defend my title. Hey. We Swoop lost the spreadsheet, so we had to go off the Super Bowl.
That won't happen.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, shout out to everybody listening to us on the TalkStream Live app, because you're doing us proud, man. Because we are the 7th show down, right? 4-3, yeah. Listen, who are
you? You're working on your math skills, man.
We're behind. I just counted it out. We're behind Michael Savage, George Norrie, Mark Levin, Jerry Doyle, Red Eye Media, and Dennis Miller. But we're ahead of all these other guys, man. Phil Hendry. Who else we got here? But we heard Inception Radio. Dennis Prager. Old time rock and roll fan. Glenn
Beck.
Glenn Beck. Yeah, man. Hey, Glenn, we're kicking your ass! Dr. Joy Brown. She makes some. She's the one that's always on the Montel Williams show or making those bad predictions. So Yeah, we're ahead of a lot of people there, man. You're doing us proud. I want to thank you for tuning in on the TalkStream Live app. We're ahead of like 60 shows, man.
Yeah!
Look at this guy. Swoops World, Living Lodge.
We rock!
We're rocking and rolling, man. One more time, I want to do a shout-out to Adam James Dano, our guest tonight. He's an outstanding artist. Check him out, adamjamesdano.blogspot.com. Follow him on Instagram, at adamjamesdano, and find him on Facebook, facebook.com/adamjamesdano. Going, man.
Yeah, you are. Back well, anyway, here. Tune back in next week. Next Wednesday here in studio, we will be having our T-Bones Timeout college football season preview. And college football starts next Thursday. And locally, the USC Trojans actually taking a trip out to Hawaii.
That's like their first game every year, isn't it?
Wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, that's why the Lakers go there. Anybody who has an opportunity, my kids go there to set up a new store, man. I mean, come on. Anybody who has a chance to go there. Just stay out of the water in Maui. You won't lose a limb.
Yeah. And the cool thing with college football is if you play that game the first week in Hawaii, actually, if you play at Hawaii at all and you're not in their conference, that game doesn't count against your 12-game regular season limit. So you can actually,
you still get to go to Kamuapua and have some...
You can actually play 13 regular season games if one of them is at Hawaii because, you know, they want to encourage teams to go there because it's hard for them to schedule, you know?
I love Hawaii, but it's a long flight over nothing but ocean.
Does that make you nervous?
You just can't put it down anywhere. You can't say, you know,
in the event of a water landing.
We're having a little trouble here. We're going to put it down.
I've always loved that
Pennsylvania.
In the event of a water landing. Okay.
You go die.
Yeah. Water landing. I don't think that's really the right term.
Yeah, that's not the right term.
This is not a seaplane.
I think they call that a splashdown.
Yeah, that's a... Get your affairs in order.
I don't swim so good.
No, not get them in order. I hope they're in order.
See if he can just take me down. Yeah. SC plays at Hawaii next Thursday. That is the beginning day of college football season. Most of the games will get going on Saturday of next week. So we'll talk next Wednesday about all of the fun things that are in store for this college football season. Screw uniforms, people on probation, just random happenstance, new coaches, all the other crazy crap that goes down. Maybe a couple of predictions. We will see.
I was
listen next week to find out more.
I was watching a preseason game and I saw what's Lane's old man's name?
Monty
Kiffin up in the booths.
Yeah, he's the new DC in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
The DC for the DCs.
They should have made him the new HC for.
I don't think he wants to be a head coach.
He doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to be a head coach.
If he were going to be a head coach, he would have done it by now.
I understand, but Lane just sucks, dude.
Yeah,
and I'm an SC fan. I try to get AD to comment. He won't ever, he's very verbose, very verbose about everything until you start hitting that old Trojan alma mater.
Well, he's still gotta, you know, use that.
Yeah. So. That whole secret handshake still works.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, boys, another fine night here in studio talking about all of the world of sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good times with T-Bone's Timeout. And as we said, oh, God, where'd it go? I'm probably with this shit. I had it set up, then we went to a break.
I think I jacked it all up.
Yeah, you did, man. It's all right. It's all good. And there you have it. Another edition of T-Bone's Timeout. You are listening to the Swoops Run on the Talkstar Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio. Going to take a quick break, listen to some Almantra, and this is called Move On. Back after this.
How you doing? This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of Rad. It's okay to rock and roll, right? But don't drive home drunk. But if you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hi, this is Barry Rivera. You're listening to Scoop World.
Means it's time for news. Alexi, Peter had one already ready to go there.
I did. Where'd it go? There it is. All right. So this one's from the Daily Mail. Zookeeper at Utah amusement park hospitalized after being gored in the leg by a wildebeest. Okay. So zookeeper was gored by a wildebeest at a Utah amusement park. What is amusing about wildebeests that we need to put them in an amusement park lagoon? I don't know.
Good question.
Yeah. These things are freaking ugly. They're ugly. And you know what they're kind of like? They're like rhinos, hippopotamus, in that most people think like elephants.
They're like horses with horns, man.
Well, there's horses with horns. But most people think that wildebeests and hippopotamus, they don't really think, oh, look how interesting, how cute they are.
How cute they are. They will F you up.
These are the kinds of beasts that tend to cause harm to humans. Yeah. Like, these kinds of beasts actually cause more harm to humans than tigers and lions and bears.
Dude, I mean,
Oh, my.
The wildebeests killed Mufasa. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah. So we're talking about these guys are actually more dangerous than most of the other, what we would think of as dangerous animals. So I'm not surprised at all that this happened. A zookeeper at Utah Amusement Park was hospitalized after being gored in the leg by a wildebeest on Sunday. Paramedics responded to a report of a goring at the Lagoon Amusement Park in Farmington, about 20 miles north of Salt Lake City. Farmington Fire Chief Guido Smith. I'm thinking that's a made-up. That's a pseudonym. That's not...
You don't think it's...
We're talking Utah here.
Well, he didn't have to be from Utah.
Well, but, I mean, Farmington, Utah, right?
Guido's in Utah?
I'm thinking this is already a bogus story, but whatever, I'm going to run with it. Said responders found a 28-year-old female employee who had been gored during a feeding process. What is a feeding process? When she came, quote, in contact with the animal's horn. Let's just think about that. The woman suffered an injury to her thigh and was transported to Salt Lake City Trauma Center, where she was in serious but stable condition, Guido said. He described the injury as a laceration. Okay. Now, I've seen some lacerations. Lacerations can be painful. They can even be a little bit bloody, but you generally don't need to be hospitalized for a laceration.
Well, that is true.
You know, a laceration. Well, I think we're beyond the laceration point here. Smith had no further details about how the injury happened, but said the wildebeest was in his pen at the time, and there was no evidence of anything out of control. Of course not. Because the wildebeest was doing what the wildebeest normally
does. Exactly.
Wildebeest are hoofed, just FYI here, wildebeest are hoofed animals with ox-like heads and horse-like manes. They're ugly, is what they're saying here. Lagoon Amusement Park spokesman Adam Leishman confirmed the zookeeper was hospitalized but said he had no information about what led to the injury. He said the park keeps a number of exotic cats, bison, deer, warthogs, and other animals, all of which seem like they should be way more dangerous, however, apparently are not. Lagoon Park also features rides, live entertainment, and Old West-themed village, according to its website. Earlier this year, we don't even know about that. So Poulsen said Utah occupational safety and health officials were looking into the workplace accident. Utah's number two official declined to provide any additional details. Well, all I can say is look up wildebeest, and you're going to see, like, these are sorts of animals you probably should stay away from. So the fact that she got a laceration from
the wildebeest,
I'm not surprised.
It looks like you took a bunch of animals and stapled them together.
It totally does.
It's got like a water buffalo horns and like this zebra mane and just cattle butt. I mean, I don't want to be a part of that.
It's fugly.
Yeah.
You know, let's stick with the animal thing. You know, we've all heard about these dogs that the presidents have, right? In the Oval Office, there's always everybody's got a pooch, right?
Yeah.
It hadn't always been that way. Because, you know, some of the presidents have had some additional tastes in animals.
Ah.
Calvin Coolidge had a pygmy hippopotamus. Says Calvin Coolidge may have been known for his reticence, but he showed little for his trademark reserve when it came to acquiring pets. After taking over the presidency upon the death of Warren G. Harding, Coolidge assembled a menagerie that would rival most zoo's collections. He had 6 dogs, a bobcat, a goose, a donkey, a cat, 2 lion cubs, an antelope, and a wallaby. The main attraction in his personal zoo, though, was Billy the pygmy hippopotamus. There's more stuff on Billy here, but let's move on to the next one here. We had Herbert Hoover wanted to put a chicken in every pot, a car in every garage, and a gator in the Oval Office. It's true, Hoover owned a slew of dogs, but those weren't the only pets. His second son, Alan Henry Hoover, owned a pair of gators that were occasionally allowed to wander around the White House grounds. Sounds scary? Blame John Quincy Adams for setting the precedent. The 6th president also had a pet gator. His was a gift from the Marquis de Lafayette.
Who was actually an American hero, right? We're talking about the same Lafayette who, like, helped lead the French troops with the American troops against the British.
Suck it, England.
We're talking, if he gives you a gator,
you keep it.
You keep it. No, you can't just keep it and put it in the basement. You occasionally got to show it off, right? I mean, he is the Marquis Lafayette. I mean, we're talking, you know, you just can't just, but otherwise, no.
Oh, Bonner, you got something, man? You ready?
I don't have one yet. I'm trying to pull one up.
That's what she said. So you hit the gator. Peter, got anything ready to go?
No, I do not. Sorry, I got behind. Or ahead, depending how you look at it.
I work with some rookies around here. Okay. The Hookset Police. Where is Hookset? New Hampshire.
I was going to guess Connecticut.
Say a man locked his keys inside his car before his shoplifting trip. This guy doesn't fall under the genius category here. A shoplifter made it out of Kmart with some stolen goods Tuesday night, but had to leave his car behind when he discovered he'd locked his keys inside, police said. Nicholas Miser, 29, of Allenstown, was later arrested by Allenstown police and brought back to the Hooksett Police Department. He is charged with felony-level willful concealment and being a convicted felon in possession of a dangerous weapon, a large knife that police said was in his car. The car he could get into. The incident happened about 7:20 p.m. at Kmart on Hooksett Road. Police said Miser left the store through the garden center without paying for some electronic items. Employees watched as he tried to put the stolen, goods in his car, but he couldn't because he had locked keys inside. He fled, leaving the car behind. There you go. There you go. Not the smartest criminal in the book.
For sure.
But that's our first New Hampshire story, I believe.
I think so.
You know, athletic events typically have these giveaways, and you go there, and you know, especially in minor league sports. Like when we go to, we've been to a few of the college games over here at Blair Field, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have the people come on the field, and they do the race down the thing to the base in the sumo suits, and they win pizzas and stuff like that.
That's right.
Well, apparently, there was a giveaway, and this is from the Morning Call, your source for news, wherever they're located. And it says, it started as just another wacky promotion, the brainchild of Iron Pigs general manager Kurt Landis. After all, how many baseball teams give away funerals? It ended as an answer to a prayer for the 64-year-old Steve Paul of Freemansburg. 2 months ago, in early June, Paul was diagnosed with ALS. A few weeks later, Paul was attending the Iron Pigs game when he heard about the promotion that would award a prepaid funeral based on an essay describing the applicant's ideal funeral. For Paul, it was a way to relieve at least one of the many burdens his family would be facing as the as the disease progressed. Tuesday, his wish was fulfilled when he was named the winner of the essay contest as part of the Iron Pig celebration of Life Night at Coca-Cola Park. He won himself a funeral. Prepaid.
At the Life Night. It seems oxymoronic.
Celebration of Life Night. Well, celebration of life is a funeral, right? That's what people call a lot of, that's what people call funerals. They're gonna celebrate the life of so and so. And they have their memorial.
I'm processing. I'm trying to see how this all plays out. I don't see it. I'm not getting it.
Found out he was suffering from ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease, right?
Yeah, sure.
He probably couldn't afford a funeral, and he was putting a lot of burden on his family. He wanted a prepaid funeral.
That takes away one of the things he was worried about. He really happy in that picture.
Because he just won. People get happy about winning anything. You ever see people just win?
I guess. They just win shit, so they're
happy. They throw a ping pong ball into a thing with a goldfish. They win a goldfish. They jump for joy like they won $1 million or something. Doesn't take much to excite people, because all you have to say, you won it.
I guess. I'm stupefied. That's just messed up. That's just messed up.
Well, apparently, Steve.
But he's happy.
Paul is of Freemansburg is very, very happy about it. So there.
He's probably dead already, so.
Well, not yet.
Soon, though. Sheesh.
Steve Paul, did you ever come up with something, man? Are you still.
I'm reading this scrolling. DiMaggio story.
Let's find some holes in there.
Dude. So, this fine fellow, Jim DiMaggio.
No relation to Mr. Coffee?
No relation to the dunking man himself, the Yankee Clipper. Jim DiMaggio apparently kidnapped his best friend's kids.
Yeah.
Hannah and Ethan, And Ethan was killed.
The wife was killed.
Yeah. Jim DiMaggio's family has now requested DNA test of the children because they have this theory that he was not only good friends with the dad, but very good friends with the mom. Such good friends, in fact, that the children may, in fact, be his, according to his family. This is just...
Her family responded to that today and said that's impossible because the mom was 6 months pregnant with, I think, the daughter that he kidnapped when they met him.
That's a dicey proposition.
But it's interesting that he had a life insurance policy that he left.
I knew money was going to come into this
at
some point.
But his life insurance policy, the benefactor of his life insurance policy, was the woman he killed's mom, the grandmother of the kids. It's a strange case this all the way around. Just, there's just more to this story than meets the freaking eye, man.
Ended up burning the house down.
On a timer. That was a time detonator.
Yeah, with a timed incendiary device.
Yeah.
This is down east of San Diego. It might even be Imperial County.
What was it? It was right on the border. Right?
Yeah. A town called Boulevard.
Yeah, Boulevard.
I don't think I ever want to go to Boulevard.
No.
Sounds like no good reason.
I'm pretty sure the trees don't fork much there.
The medical examiner said that the mother of the children died of a blunt head injury.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, good friend of the family.
Yeah. The 8-year-old boy who was also killed, his death remains under investigation. But they found both bodies.
It wasn't natural, though.
Well, yeah, they found both bodies in...
The 8-year-old didn't die of...
in the fire.
What was that movie with Brad Pitt?
This is just a crazy story, dude. Just...
really old when he was young. It is a crazy story. You know, and the weird thing about it is stuff like, you know, he took the daughter to Hollywood for like...
A few times, I heard, right?
Yeah, he did a lot of solo trips with the daughter. And just weird, just uncomfortable.
Well, and they found her out in Idaho where he had bailed to, right?
Yeah, two couples on horseback spotted him. Didn't know that they were, you know, Amber Alert, didn't know anything about him. Just knew that they were ill-equipped to be camping out there. You know, she was running around in her pajamas. The camping equipment was kind of light. They said that, you know, usually people there, when you come across people there when, you know, in that area.
They know what the hell they're doing.
They talk to you. They know what they're doing. You say, yeah, how long you been camping? And this was really, they said it was just very odd. It just kind of disturbed them. When they got back, they actually saw the, they were just saying, well, we should call the cops on that. It just didn't look right. Then they saw the Amber Alert. And called the cops. Cops found his car. And then found him. The FBI found him and apparently had a little shootout. End of story. But I think there's a lot more that's going to come out of that. She's going to be on the Today Show tomorrow, I believe, tomorrow morning.
Really?
Yeah, you know, the thing is her dad, you know, he's been on camera a lot. During the time this is going on, you got to realize he just lost a wife and a kid, and his other kid was missing. And he really, to me, views and opinion don't represent the Talk Story Network, but he he just didn't seem that tore up about it. He's like, hey, what's the girl's name again there, T-Bone? What was it?
Anna?
Yeah, hey, Anna, hang in there. We're looking for you. And then when they found her, he goes, okay, give time, let us grieve, you know, we're just happy to have her back. Oh, yeah, grieve about our my wife and my other kid, too. Just never seemed like that really tore up about,
right.
You know, if my kid was missing and my other kid was dead and my spouse was dead, I'd be a little bit more
distraught
than this guy was, you know. He was like, oh, yeah, what time's the game start? And, oh, yeah, my daughter, hopefully they find her. Before halftime, and it's to me that's right. Just how he came across. I, you know, I could be wrong. Everybody deals with things in different ways. But, I'm just saying. Anyway, got anything else, man? We're wrapping it down.
I'm reading about royal swans.
Oh. Go ahead and do that one. That was excellent.
Apparently, in England in particular, and I guess the UK as a whole, the Queen has certain privileges other than never having to work a day in her life.
One of those
privileges is that I guess she just owns all the swans in England. They're all hers.
Well, of course.
Well, I mean, you know.
Why would it be any other way? How absurd for you to think otherwise.
So the swans all belong to the Queen. And there is no
those
dispute
are the
in this
royal
fact.
Swans.
There's no dispute in this fact. The swans belong to the Queen. To the point where the Queen actually has a designated Queen's swan marker. This is a paid position in the British government.
They require a college degree.
And the Queen's swan marker, David Barber, has comments about this.
Just good reading.
Because I know who.
And I'll mark some swans.
Hell yeah.
But a swan owned by the Queen, because they all are, has been found barbecued on the banks of the Thames.
Unplucked.
In the shadows of the of Windsor Castle. Apparently what somebody saw a swan, decided they were hungry, took it down one way or another, cut the breasts off of the swan, cooked and ate them, or took them away, but in the process, they torched the remains of the carcass and left them there.
Tastes like chicken.
I'm sure it tastes delicious. I mean, that bird's got to be good for something.
Absolutely.
It's a giant, giant bird. Ducks are delicious. Swans have got to be kind of tasty, too. Probably a little greasy. I'm all about it.
You gotta read that one.
But the uproar that came as a result of it, yeah, I'd be pissed if I walked up with my kids and saw this animal all jacked up too. But the very concept that this bird belongs to the Queen, just because that's the laughable part of the story. And
I honestly think that's totally reasonable. The Queen should own all the swans. Why should she not? What kind of absurdity are you talking about over there?
Well, you know, the first written record of the swan as a royal bird dates back to the 12th century. We're talking pre-Magna Carta right here.
There you go.
Pre-Magna Carta obviously is
obviously. All I can say to that is duh.
Duh.
originally, they were highly prized for their gourmet qualities.
Oh,
and they were
true.
Often served at banquets.
Apparently, they were also served at picnics, too.
Nowadays, you can get punished by a maximum of 6 months in jail and £5,000 fine. So, way to go, UK.
UK. Well, to wrap things up, we got one from the chat room there, right?
Yeah. T-Hoxy, thank you very much. I'm going to have nightmares for weeks. So T-Hoxy posted this. For those of you who are in the chat room, just click on that for some mind-altering, disturbing stuff.
I need my mind
fork
to be altered before I read
in
this.
Penis. This is from Huffington Post. Fork and penis removed. I guess that's the good news. After 70-year-old man stuffs 4-inch utensil into his urethra. For those of you who may not know what a urethra is, that's your dick.
And if you're a 70-year-old man with nothing to do, get a hobby.
Oy, get another hobby. Get a different hobby. Anyhow, there is an x-ray where... I just can't even look at that anymore. I'm just gonna... Man of the world, here's a piece of advice. There are many ways to bring happiness to your Johnson, but sticking a fork into it isn't one of them.
It's not one of them, huh?
Imagine that.
Oh, my gosh.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Just ask the 70-year-old Australian man. I'm starting to think that Australia is the Florida...
Of
the UK. It's the Florida of the UK. I think that's what it is. I'm suspecting it.
Australian for beer.
Yeah. Who was rushed to the hospital, no shit, after he attempted that very feat of stuffing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, here's the thing is, if some guy sticks that up, I'm going to be like, you're 70 years old. It's time for you to die.
Yeah, you're done.
I am not rushing you anywhere if you do that.
Here's the thing. We got to figure out why he did this. Maybe he could afford Viagra.
I don't know.
He needed it stiff. I'm not sure about the fork part of it, the forked part of it, but...
Well, according to a recent report published in the International Journal of Surgery Cases, earlier this month, the Canberra man was admitted to the hospital with bleeding urethral meatus. After he stuffed a 4-inch... Okay, we've already covered that. He did do this, apparently, to achieve sexual gratification. Now,
I don't think this guy knows what those words mean.
I think this guy is seriously, seriously confused. Fortunately, the report says the fork was successfully removed using forceps and a copious lubrication. Oh, yeah, yeah. According to the report's authors,
this is the greatest part of this.
Isn't the first time that the man has attempted to insert a foreign object into his nether regions.
Go down the list, man.
Here's the list. Pens, safety pins, telephone cables, glue, cocaine. Okay, now cocaine might make sense. Straws, marbles. Did we have a whole conversation about kidney stones? All right. Light bulbs. Carrots.
Snakes.
Really? Snakes? Among others.
Okay, hang on a second. If this is the list you're going to give, what are the among other strange items, man?
Among other strange things. It is apparent that the human mind is inhibited, let alone creative. The authors conclude. That doesn't even make sense. That's just absurd. Needless to say, wedging objects into one's penis is hazardous activity.
Repeat that. Would you read that one again? Just for those who didn't get that.
For those of you who are in Florida and Australia, I want to point out that, needless to say, wedging. See, like anytime you're wedging, you're probably doing something wrong. If it involves a bodily function. Wedging is what you do when you do like yard work or when you clean the house. Sexual gratification. You probably shouldn't be wedging.
No wedging.
No wedging
into
no
the penis.
Wedging
or into anything else. Probably
wedge the penis into things. Don't wedge things into the penis.
Exactly.
No. He's got an ass backwards.
Yeah. You might need to tattoo that somewhere. If you're not sure.
So, needless to say, wedging objects into one's penis is
hazardous
activity. Exactly. According to a 2010 subject...
We needed a study on this subject.
There are some sort of, research dollars going to this subject. The urological consequences of this type of behavior can be significant.
You gotta click on the link, man.
And the implications for patients can be serious, including death. So that's right there. That's solid. Like death. This could cause death. I'm not looking. No. I cannot see what you are doing.
They got a picture of the fork being removed, man. You gotta click on that link.
No, I can't look. I'm not going to look. I cannot see what you are doing.
You cannot see that, man.
I cannot see that. T-Hawks, you are sick. But thank you for sending us the link.
That's awesome. Hey, want to thank everybody for tuning in to Swoops World tonight. Tomorrow at Swoops World Prime Time, Karma Spence will be in studio with us at 11 a.m. Tomorrow, next week on Swoops World Late Night, Pete Marchica joins us in studio. Once again, we want to give a shout out and a big thank you to artist Adam James Dano for coming to the studio, hanging with us. talking about his artwork. Check him out. Follow him. Go to Adam James Dano, D-A-N-O, .blogspot.com. Find him on Instagram, at Adam James Dano. Or find him on Facebook at facebook.com/AdamJamesDano. Check out his artwork. It's amazing stuff. Cool, very, very cool stuff. And, you know, support your local artists and your independent musicians as well as we always do. Once again, I want to thank AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas for streaming us every week. And those of you who listen to us on TalkStream Live as well. Any last minute, last thoughts, guys?
Don't stick a fork into your penis.
Words to live by.
Especially not without copious lubrication.
Yeah.
Shout out to the chat room tonight. We had Tioxy and Alma was in there earlier, and a couple other people that were those weird names that, you know, Bumble Doogie or stuff like that.
Wumble Puss. That.
And all those in there, have a safe week, and we will see you again soon. Good night, all.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.